with these doctors, and that's what I'm going to talk about. So don't even bother asking me all of these other questions that you all are curious about, okay? Don't even bother.
Kane is blaming someone with rival Rick Perry's campaign for leaking information about the allegations. Perry's campaign says it found out when Politico broke the story Sunday. President Obama wants to speed up transportation projects he says will help people find work. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood says this is normally a bipartisan issue, but not with today's political climate in Washington.
It's the worst I've ever seen. There's way too much gotcha politics, way too much one-upsmanship politics, and it's not fair to the American people. It's not fair to American workers. It's not fair to people who are out of work.
LaHood is a former Republican congressman. Tear gas was used on Occupy Wall Street protesters in Oakland and Seattle. Police in Oakland say several hundred people were throwing rocks and shooting fireworks at officers after the demonstrators were asked to leave. Greece may get kicked out of the Eurozone if a vote on a bailout plan fails. CNN's Ali Velshi reports from the G20 summit in France. Greece won't be getting any additional bailout money anytime soon.
The International Monetary Fund has said the next installment of money that is to go to Greece will not go to them until there's a decision on this referendum. We don't know when the referendum will be. It could be as early as mid-December, could be as late as January.
College grads are leaving school with an average student loan debt of over $25,000. A new report shows more students are relying on loans because of rising tuition and the weak economy. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Gentlemen, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries. Oh, no. We install them fast and free with purchase on most vehicles. And we mean fast. If strapping on an experimental jetpack would help us install your battery any faster, we'd do it. Unfortunately, jetpacks can be squirrely. Too bad, because we really wanted those things. Fast, free battery installation at Advance. Service is our best part. Advance Auto Parts.
New college graduates can tell you all about how tough the job market is right now. But another thing they can tell you is about having a record amount of debt. Research by the Project on Student Debt finds average student loan debt for last year's college grads topped $25,000 per person for the first time ever. It was a 5% increase from the year before. Amazon.com is adding something else to its lengthy resume, librarian. Company launching an e-book lending service in which customers can download a free book and read it as long as they like. There are a few catches. It works only with the Kindle. You can have only one book at a time, and it's available only to subscribers of Amazon's Prime service, which costs $79 a year. Fresh worry about Greece's debt and possibly spreading to the rest of Europe ahead of the G20 summit this upcoming weekend is causing global stock markets to fall. Asian markets down 2%, European markets sliding, S&P futures down 5. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Thank you for calling Bank. Our banking hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
You have reached Bank. Please call back during our normal business hours.
Welcome to hours on Monday through Friday.
It is after 5 p.m. We are closed. Hi, thanks for calling Ally Bank. How may I help you?
If your bank doesn't have a real person available 24/7, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense, just people sense. Member FDIC.
If you run a business, you've always got decisions on your mind.
Reducing my costs, protecting my people.
Fortunately, Aflac is an easy decision. It lets you enhance employee benefits at no direct cost to your company. Aflac is insurance that pays cash benefits directly. And since it's voluntary, it costs your business nothing.
Better benefits at no cost.
Aflac! That's what I'm talking about.
Call 1-866-61-AFLAC or visit aflac.com/protect.
What's with the boxes, Earlman?
Just moving into Peterson's old office, Mr. Fernwell.
Well, I need this space for Bob from Accountemps. I want him to fill Peterson's shoes.
Good luck. That man had the biggest feet I've ever seen.
Bob from Accountemps knows cost analysis and budgeting inside out.
But he's a temporary.
We could hire him full-time.
Full-time?
And this will all be his.
Can I just pretend for a sec?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries, we'll test them fast and free on most vehicles. If the best way to test your battery was to place our tongues directly on your old battery, we'd do it. But we have a machine that's far more accurate. Need a new battery? We'll install it free with purchase using our hands. No machine can replace those. Service is our best part. Advance Auto Parts.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Tribbiano.
And good morning, everybody. It is a Thursday, a glorious Thursday morning here in Southeast Michigan. I'm pleased as hell to be with you today. I was going to say pleased as punch, but that sounds a little too light. It's not quite a booyah day. I got to find like an in-between for the booyah. I mean, it's a good day. The weather's beautiful this morning. My son Anthony turns 21 today. Actually did at midnight. Technically, you know, if we're going to be technical about it, he turns 21 at 11:34 p.m. this evening. I should know. I was there. It was pretty cool. Still is pretty cool. I dig that dude. Anyway, I hope that you're all doing well this morning. We've got a great show. I mean, we absolutely have maybe the best show we'll ever do. At the 7 o'clock hour, Tino Reynolds will join us from the Michigan Environmental Council. Talk about lead poisoning. You'd think the year 2011... Why are we talking about lead poisoning? You'd be surprised. And we're going to get to that at 7:05. At 7:35, we're going to talk to Jeff Breslin, president of the Michigan Nurses Association. The Main Street contract needs a little updating. We will get to that. I really like Jeff, by the way. I had a chance to meet him in Lansing a few weeks ago. At 7:50, of course, we will check in with the Occupy Detroit crew, and many of you may have heard, there was an arrest at Wayne State yesterday. A couple occupiers were arrested for daring to ask a question. That's true. They dared to ask a question. And so one of those that was arrested, I just don't know which one yet, will be with us at 7:50, so we'll look forward to that. And the piece de resistance this morning, film director and producer Tom Shadyac will be with us. Now, you know him from Ace Ventura and The Nutty Professor and Chuck and Larry and lots of really great comedies. But after a horrific accident that almost ended his life, he redirected his focus and has produced and directed a documentary called I Am. We'll have him for the entire 8 o'clock hour, and I want to thank David Hecker for giving us his time this morning so that we could bring Tom Shadyac to you, and we will look forward to doing that. But as we do every morning at this time, we're going to start with this.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
And first word today is acceptable. Acceptable. What's acceptable? I mean, that's a question within a question within a question, but what do you measure against whatever it is you're trying to find something that is acceptable? What is acceptable? the lowest point that you'll agree to something? Is it the middle? Is it the highest point? What is acceptable? Is it behavior? You know, acceptable is an interesting word. I do find that acceptable. Does that mean that it's a compliment, a positive? Is the word acceptable a negative? It is an interesting word, is it not? If you stop and think about it, acceptable can be really just kind of embracing the very minimal expectation. Yes, acceptable is our first word on this First Shift Thursday program, and we welcome back the very acceptable producer, Jeff Radford, and I mean that, of course, in the best possible way, Jeff. You know, stop and think about the word acceptable. Is it really, is that a high point? Is it a low point? You know, it's kind of an interesting word.
It depends what you're talking about. It can go either way.
I don't find your answer acceptable.
It has a very long, exactly, see, has a wide range of possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell Anthony if he needs a straw, he left one in here.
I'll let him know.
Actually, let's bring Anthony on and wish him a happy 21st birthday. And I'm not suggesting he might still be a little inebriated from last night. But at midnight, he certainly exercised his right to be 21 and went to a local tavern or two. And my dear son, I love you and happy 21st birthday to you.
Well, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure having you all these years, and I hope we can continue for many more years to come.
Has it really?
Yeah, it really has. I mean, you know, you've been a pain in the ass from time to time. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, that's nice to hear.
But I'm sure I've been a pain in the ass to you from time to time, so let's call it equal. Fair enough?
Deal.
Okay. Do you have plans for this evening? Are you going to make me go, like, do that whole morning thing? I won't tell everybody how many times it took me to wake you up this morning.
What, once?
You really think it was just once? It was four times, dude.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, but nothing special for tonight.
All right, but this weekend, it's the big party weekend. And
Right.
All right, well, you know, welcome to 21. Be responsible, be careful. All right? This doesn't mean you start buying booze and bringing it in the house. You know, we're not big drinkers in that house.
Okay.
All right. Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday indeed.
Thank you.
My baby boy. All right, well, he's not my baby boy, but he is my baby boy, and I don't care that he's 21, he's always good. As I told him the other day, I'll be 90, and he'll still be my kid. So, you know, I dig my boys. I've got three children, ladies and gentlemen, all really very good young men. I'm very, very proud. Anyway, Jeff, you know what? There's really nothing going on this morning in the world of sports.
Oh, but that's so not true. You gotta love this time. Well, not just this time of year, but also December, because it's all about baseball. Baseball, winter meetings in December, that's when a lot of trades get done. But right now, speculation of all the free agents and who's out there, who's not signing contracts.
Okay, well,
I was hoping for Brandon Phillips, but the Reds picked up the option there. But there's a good name out there that I think I like a lot for the Tigers.
Who?
Aaron Hill.
I'm not familiar with Mr. Hill.
He was a Toronto Blue Jays second baseman for a long time. Had a couple good seasons, but then just needed a change of scenery, I guess. And so Arizona and Toronto swapped second baseman. Kelly Johnson went up to Toronto, and Aaron Hill went out to Arizona to play with Kirk Gibson and them. And when he got out there, suddenly he was back again. So I think in this lineup, another change of scenery. It's not quite, you know, it's not Toronto. It's Detroit, so I think it'd be a good fit, top of the lineup, kind of a top of the order kind of guy, a guy that fits the bill for the Tigers too.
What kind of contract will he command?
The option, the reason why the Diamondbacks didn't bring him back is because he had an option for $8 million, but they turned it down because they don't value him. They value him at $4 million a season, so you know, maybe five, six. I mean, you're paying Brandon Inge six, you're paying Peralta six, and this is a guy who I think would be right in the middle of the two, probably, compared to last season. Because I don't know if Peralta is the same. If he can keep that up, then man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I think Aaron Hill, top of the order kind of guy, scrappy, slap hitter, get on. Actually, I shouldn't say that, because he hit 30 bombs, I think, with Toronto. So I would be pretty interested in kicking the tires on that.
All right. Well, you know. So is that it for our baseball news?
Well, I mean, yeah, for right now, I guess.
I'm just saying there's not a lot going on. I mean, there's really not a lot going on. in the middle of the week. We got a big weekend coming up. You know, there's obviously, you know, lots of football coming up, and that's great, except the Lions don't play this weekend, but there's still a lot of football this weekend.
How about college basketball?
You know, again, we could do. When does Michigan State play on the carrier? Is that January?
Actually, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. But they did. They just threw out the jerseys. You see those?
Yeah, the camos.
Yeah, not a big fan. If Michigan State doesn't look that different, but you know, it was weird because UNC announced it a while back that they were doing them. Theirs looks a little different. I mean, they basically look the same as their normal jerseys, except for they got, you know, the high-tech electronic camo design on there.
I don't know if you heard, but President Obama is going to be attending that game.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
He's a big basketball fan. It's on a carrier. Yeah, it fits.
Yeah, no, he's definitely going. He made it clear that he has a huge basketball fan, plays almost every day. I understand he's actually got game.
Oh, yeah?
That's what I hear.
I know he's played with UNC before and picked them to win the championship in years past. But actually, you know, the big day, the reason why today's a big college basketball day is it's Mitch McGarry Day.
Which means what to me?
He is one of the top players in the entire country, and he's going to decide which school he's going to. It's recruiting. And I don't get into recruiting that much. I really, you know, almost loathe it. But this kid, I mean, the hype behind him and where he's going and who his top schools are, and it's been building and building. And in Ann Arbor, they're very optimistic that he's going to choose the Wolverines today.
Okay. Well, I guess good for them. I have no issue with that.
Well, it's a big step because the basketball program went through that dark area, and then they just wanted to be a clean program and not very good. And now John Beilein's here, and he's slowly, you know, getting the recruiting there. This is a top three guy. That's a big sign for them.
Well, yeah, that would be a huge sign, obviously. Well, good. I guess good. I want my baseball back. I miss those days, but I'll be okay. Jeff, I don't know if you heard this morning, and we're going to get into this as we come back from break, but Mayor Dave Bing says it's time for Detroit to have an emergency financial manager.
And he wants one?
Yeah, and guess who he wants to be?
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, we're going to come back and talk about that. Mayor Dave Bing, ringing the bell. By the way, Council President Charles Pugh said, yo, David, dude, not so fast. 888-552-3595. Thank you for punching in this morning. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break. First Shift continues on 1310 WDTW right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes an earlier problem on the Southfield Freeway southbound the ramp to Ford Road. We had a car fire working there. And the overnight construction on 94 East between Chalmers and 8 Mile Vernier, that has stayed a little longer than scheduled. So we've been down to one lane during the overnight hours. Hopefully they're pulling those barrels out of there shortly.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. There is a chance of an isolated shower today. Look for a high near 50. Tonight, some clouds, a low near 34. Tomorrow, sunny and 52. Right now, it's overcast and 50 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Curtis Ellis, Executive Director of the American Jobs Alliance. And tell us, what is the American Jobs Alliance all about?
Individuals across the country who care very much about having jobs in the U.S. and care very much about having a healthy domestic manufacturing base and domestic service base. That is, let's just talk turkey here, put it straight, not outsourcing. We can't be having everything made around the world and imported into this country. Americans have to produce what we use. We have to be producers as well as consumers, or else we'll never get out of the financial mess we're in. We're a post-industrial service economy. I don't have to tell you or your listeners what that's done to this country. You're at ground zero there in Detroit. We have grass growing in the streets of major cities. Cities have never seen a depopulation like this since the Black Plague swept Europe.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, and before we get into the story on Mayor Dave Bing wanting to be his own grand poobah, I just, the story's a little bit odd. We'll get to it in a second. Jeff, they named the halftime act for the Thanksgiving Day game, and fans are not terribly happy with the choice.
Oh, yeah? Which Motown group is it?
No, think again.
Which Michigan or Detroit? No, Jeff,
I'm sorry. Keep going.
Which American group?
I don't mean to be rude and interrupt you, but no, Jeff, it's not an American act.
What? Oh, well, who is it then?
Nickelback?
Okay, I don't necessarily hate their music. I guess it's, you know, live or, I mean, one way or the other, it sounds like, you know, they're a lightning rod.
Hey, listen, with all due respect to our Canadian listeners, and we do have listeners in Windsor, we truly do, they have their own Thanksgiving. It's not even, you know, the same day as ours. Do we really, I mean, really a Canadian group doing our Thanksgiving? Is that really the right thing to do? Or does it matter? Apparently it matters, because there's a group of people that have created a petition at change.org urging Ford Field to choose another band to perform at Thanksgiving.
These people are protest happy. They'll protest or recall.
Wait. What? Who are these people?
And people in this country, this climate.
All right,
but it's like a, you know, it's almost like a recall. Like something gets announced and they want to recall the band away.
I don't particularly have a problem with it being Nickelback. I truly don't.
I think when you're doing a halftime show, what's the number one thing you basically want? Well, nowadays you want to be safe from the FCC, so you don't want the most outstanding or the act that'll get you in the most trouble. And for all intents and purposes, I don't think Nickelback is going to do that. You know, they're not going to have wardrobe malfunctions. But you look for, like, what, a popular band. And the stats behind Nickelback prove that there's a lot of people out there that like them. There's also a lot of people that hate them, though.
I learned yesterday that they are the number one foreign act since the Beatles.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty high praise, I suppose.
Yeah.
Number one foreign act. Wow.
And so, yeah, they are the number one foreign
You know, in America, obviously, the number one foreign band since the Beatles.
That's so unique.
They've sold 50 million albums here in the U.S. since 1996. So, and it's interesting because they're not only one of the more popular bands in the world, they are also number one, the number one musical turnoff band in the world, according to some funky group. Anyway, just wanted to share that. That's who we get for halftime. I don't think they're going to be making any changes at Ford Field because, there's a change.org wants it changed. And what do I do at halftime at Thanksgiving? My family eats at halftime, so we're not even watching halftime.
So. Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, I think it's more for people who are at the game. Because when you're with family watching the game, you watch the first, second quarter. Then at halftime, you go and get something to eat or you go do stuff with family and come back for the second half.
Absolutely. All right. Well, anyway, well, if we have time later, we'll come back to that. I thought it was a little ridiculous. So here we are. Dave Bing, the mayor of Detroit, says that they're $155 million in the hole and that there's nothing they can do. He's blaming this on the unions, by the way, because they won't go renegotiate their contract and, you know, and take the hit for the $155 million. So he said, you know, being that as it is, they need a financial manager. And this supposedly happened behind closed doors yesterday. Now, Charles Pugh, the president of Detroit City Council, said absolutely not true. I just heard him on WXYZ Channel 7 right here in Detroit, right before the show started, live, say, no, this is not true. We need to sit down with the unions, but it's not just about union concessions. But, again, the topper here is that Dave Bing says that he would be the best financial manager. Danger, danger, danger. Let's go to the phones and welcome Tom in Detroit. Tom, I know you got to have an opinion on this one. Good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, and yes, I do. David Blinkley says, I've got an opinion, and you're entitled to it.
Thank you.
But Tony, to be honest about it, this is something that has just not all of a sudden popped up, come up. You know, like, oh,
you're 100% right. This is not new information.
Right, and I mean, you know, I think I can't remember the dollar figure, but it was some $100 million plus that they expected to, you know, come into city coffers. Those were if comes, and we know what happens with if comes. And the thing that annoys me is throughout this thing, you know, he's been talking about, well, the union won't come to the table. The union won't come to the table. I mean, come on. You know, let's go ahead and get real here. This is more than about what the union wasn't doing. I mean, I believe the union was there at the table. He just wasn't getting what he wanted. But, you know, Tony, and a little kind of like joke here, but I'm being serious, too. They've been playing this part of that Little Richard record. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in.
You're right.
They've been playing that too long. I mean, it was very imminent that, you know, an emergency and the manager was going to, you know, come. Because first it was bankruptcy, and you know it comes with bankruptcy. But the only problem I have with that, and it's a moot point in terms of what I'm saying, is you've got one person with the power to just go ahead and constitutionally violate our rights in terms of, you know, those people who we elected to, you know, city council and, you know, and what have you.
Well, you know, Tom, here's my concern, and I got to keep an eye on the clock here, but here's my concern, Tom. Governor Snyder and Dave Bing are a little closer than I think people realize.
Yeah.
And so there's a danger there. We know that Charles Pugh and Dave Bing are not on the same page, and we understand that. But I don't think Charles Pugh is wrong. I don't think that this is a matter of giving up because it gets a little tough. And, you know, Charles Pugh said this morning on Channel 7, Tom, you know, the mayor needs to start showing some leadership here. And if he's not willing to, city council will.
But you know what, Tony, throughout this whole ordeal in terms of this budget deficit, since Mayor Bing has come in office, and I'm not calling him a liar. He just wasn't telling the truth, the whole truth, you know, nothing but the truth to help me God. I kept hearing a budget deficit of $150-160 million. When he came into office, the budget deficit was somewhere about $300 plus million. So what happened to that other half of that deficit? Did it just go, as the temptation say, like smoke from a cigarette, it fades away? No, that money was still there, and we were not given the truth in terms of the whole entire dollar figure of where that deficit was. And that deficit was climbing.
You know, Tom,
because I know what go ahead, Tony.
We got to get to the break.
I
appreciate what you're saying. I love the way you intermingle the pop culture and music references into what you're doing. My oldest son just loves you. There's a reason. You're an amazing, amazing human being. God bless you, Tom. We're going to take a quick break here. Feel free to give us a call. Mayor Dave Bing says it's time for an emergency manager. He's that manager. And I've got some stuff coming out of the state capitol that's going to blow your mind. Senator Gretchen Whitmer, minority leader, gives another one of those speeches on the floor of the Senate yesterday that'll get you standing up and cheering. We'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
And good morning again, Tony. Our total traffic update looking pretty good right now on the Southfield Freeway. Traffic is just picking up for those heading in toward the interchange with 94 or up toward 96, the Jeffries, or if you can head up toward M10. Looks like we're not seeing any really big delays, but you know what's coming.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there is a chance of an isolated shower today. Look for a high near 50. Tonight, some clouds, a low near 34. Tomorrow, sunny and 52. Right now, it's overcast and 50 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
It's the two-day sale at Toys R Us this Friday and Saturday. Doorbusters start Friday 3 p.m. through Saturday 1 p.m. Get 25% off top-selling Lego construction sets, plus 50% off hot toys from Razer, Disney, Princess, and more. Join Jeffrey for the ultimate kickoff to Christmas this Saturday from noon to 3 p.m. Try out this season's hottest toys and create your holiday wish list. Toys R Us, the world's greatest toy store.
Exclusions apply. Store hours may vary. Visit a store or toysrus.com for offer details.
Many big-time newspapers have run mocking pieces by political pundits about the Occupy movement, denigrating it as confused and chaotic. In USA Today, for example, right-wing pundit Cal Thomas recently opined that, to the extent anyone can understand their core message, the occupiers apparently despised business and capitalism. Well, no, Cal. They despise corporate greed and political corruption, and their core message is really quite clear. The bankers, bosses, and others who make up the richest 1% of our society are further enriching themselves by knocking down the 99%. Maybe an up-close example of this would help Thomas see what the majority of Americans who support the Occupy movement are experiencing. Look no further than the very newspaper chain that's paying him to pontificate so cluelessly. Gannett, which owns USA Today and about 80 other papers, is a financial and journalistic wreck. In the past 6 years, its stock price has collapsed by 750%. It has fired 20,000 employees, stripped its newsrooms of their ability to do serious reporting, and cut the pay of remaining journalists while insisting that they work longer hours with less support. Craig DeBow, Gannett's CEO since 2005, presided over this debacle. He's now out, but he wasn't fired, as you and I would have been for such a failure. No, no. Instead, Gannett's board of directors handed DeBow, get this, $37 million as a go-away gift. This cushion of luxury came on top of the $16 million he was given in salary and bonuses during the past 2 years, as those workers who produced the product were being dumped and the corporation was tanking. This is Jim Hightower saying, so, Mr. Thomas, that's the reason so many are in the streets and in support of what the occupiers are saying. Can you relate?
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. I want to remind you, this Saturday we fall back an hour. Daylight savings time ends. And I, for one, am very much looking forward to that. Yes, it means that it gets darker a whole lot earlier. But it also means it gets lighter a whole lot earlier. And in the world of AM radio, that means we have a bigger audience that much earlier. We have to power down by federal regulation at sunset and cannot power back up to full strength until sun up, which starting next week will be in the 6 o'clock hour as opposed to in the 7 o'clock hour, and at this point late in the 7 o'clock hour. And so I'm looking forward to that. Plus we get an extra hour sleep this weekend, and for those of us that don't get a lot of sleep, we'll take that extra hour. I'm looking forward to that a great deal. So that's coming up this weekend. Jeff, I don't remember why they changed it. It used to be before Halloween, and I think they actually left it or put it after Halloween so it would still be light when the kids were trick-or-treating. I believe that was one of the reasons that they did that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was and I'm sure there was some political. And there's always money involved at some place, at some point. But I don't know about you. I don't mind that it gets dark early. I really don't, especially in the colder months, because it's not like you're outside enjoying the weather anyway. So what does it really matter? You're indoors, might as well be dark out.
Exactly.
I sound a little cynical, don't I?
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be. But, I mean, really, from a practical standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't make any sense to do that. So that's that. All right, our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day, which Bruce is now burying with all of his Occupy stuff, but we'll let it go for now. Detroit Mayor Dave Bing is threatening asking Governor Snyder to appoint a financial manager for Detroit if unions don't make deeper concessions. Do you believe Mayor Bing is using threats to scare and scare tactics to force unions to concede to his demands? Just a couple people have rung up this early. One says yes, one says no. So there you go. It's an interesting dilemma, because if his plan is to be the emergency manager, imagine the power that gives him as mayor. It gives him the power to hire and fire anybody in city government. It gives him the power to throw out every single collective bargaining agreement under the umbrella of the city of Detroit. It makes him a very dangerous person. And I'm not so sure he has the best interest of the city at heart at this point if this is the tactic that he's taking. Now, again, we'll go back to what Charles Pugh said a half an hour ago on Channel 7 live, that this is going to take some tough decision-making, but it's about leadership, and we know what we need to do. He also points out that, you know, the city has to take a look at its core services, you know, prioritize them, and perhaps make some changes. I guess we can take the word perhaps out of there. They do have to make some changes. So we'll watch this story as it unfolds over the next day or so. This is not the way we need to go. You can't give one person that kind of power to be the mayor. As the mayor, do you think he can fire himself? Ask himself to step down?
Call himself into his office to ask some tough questions.
I don't like the way this smells. This definitely does not pass the smell test. All right. Yesterday, there's a lot of legislation that passed in the state legislature yesterday. The helmet bill, gone. The helmet law, gone. Gone. And we'll get into that in greater detail, but not now. the anti-bullying measure, which we're going to focus on in just a minute, is a huge disappointment. Retiree benefits for state employees, I briefly mentioned that yesterday, very problematic what the state legislature is looking to do. And I had made the statement that legislative Republicans hate us. They hate people. They just do. They love corporations. They love insurance companies. They love a lot of stuff, but they don't like people. They don't like people. We keep getting in the way of their agenda. And it's become clearer and clearer with every piece of legislation that comes out of the state capitol. And it's very problematic. And so as I look at, and I'll just, in here, very quickly, I've got a handful of stories here. Senate passes anti-bullying bill. Again, we're going to get to that in a minute. House approves worker compensation changes. It guts the bill. Next one here. Department of Human Services tests 60-month welfare limit questioned. That's actually a positive story. State retirees benefits changes move forward. Bad news, and the list goes on and on and on. All right, before I get to what Gretchen Whitmer, the Senate Minority Leader, had to say on the Senate floor yesterday, let's go back to the phones and welcome John in Richmond. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. John, welcome to First Shift, and good morning to you.
How you doing, Tony?
Go ahead.
Well, one thing I don't understand is Charles Pugh is a Fox 2 reporter.
No, he's not.
He was.
He was, but he's not anymore, John.
That's what I mean. But before he ran for this, for being the leader of the council there, he was sponsored by Fox 2. He was pushed by Fox 2 to get in there and go after the unions. And it's so obvious to me that this was another Fox, you know, a push thing for him. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, John, you certainly have a right to your opinion, but I don't think that Fox 2 gives a rat's ass about Charles Pugh and what he did. I don't think that Fox 2 is any part of city government, and that's my opinion. I mean, you got a right to think what you want to think, John, but I really don't know what you base that on.
But you notice they're going after the unions again. It's just a constant union-busting thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly agree on that.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying, that if you connect the dots, he was a Fox reporter. And here's the same guy that was declaring bankruptcy, I think, but he was losing his house and everything else, and yet they put him in charge of city council.
Well, he got it. You know, John, do you know how the president of city council is chosen?
Yes, by the most votes.
Right.
So he's the most popular person.
That's right. So the people of the city of Detroit gave him the most votes, and therefore they coronated him chairman and chief executive of the city council. And, John, I appreciate your call. It's an interesting perspective. It's truly an interesting perspective. We just don't happen to see eye to eye on that one. Yeah, not this time, but John, I do appreciate the call. 888-552-3595. Kevin in Melvindale joins us now on First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. Kevin, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Tony. Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I had to call in this morning. You know, it seems I just got a couple quick comments. One, from the moment Dave took office, he's taken to me an adversarial and a negative view as it pertains to labor unions and labor in the city of Detroit. He immediately went after labor. He immediately went after working people and has tried to make the budget cuts and those type of things off of the back of the working people. I mean, it's not surprising. It seems to be that type of flavor in the city of Detroit. Secondly, you know, and I continue to come back to this, why are people surprised at the state and national level at what Republicans are doing? You know, it's our fault that we're in this position because too many people fell asleep at the wheel. And I say that, and I come back to the point that There was no doubt in my mind that Virg Venero was the better candidate to be the governor in the state of Michigan. Apathy, whatever you want to call it, people did not get out to vote. And unfortunately, that's why we find ourselves where we are. Now, you know, we have elections coming up. And the big question is people going to get motivated, going to get connected, and going to get out to vote?
Well,
is that simple?
Well, they better, Kevin. I mean, I don't disagree with the words you've said. They absolutely better get out and vote. They better get active. And you're 100% correct. In November of 2010... Democrats didn't go to the ballot box. They didn't vote for, and it wasn't just that they didn't vote for Virg Venero, they didn't vote, period. And so this is what we get. And so you're right, we shouldn't be surprised by it. You know, I think I'm more disgusted, Kevin, than surprised. And I've got reason to be disgusted. And so anyway, I just couldn't agree more with what Kevin had to say. 888-552-3595. We don't have enough time to get into this Gretchen Whitmer audio, but we'll get it to it right after. In fact, we'll come out of the break with it. You want to pay attention to what the senator had to say on the Senate floor yesterday. An anti-bullying measure was passed. And you'll hear part of what the problem is in what she had to say, and then I'll help to further define why what the Republicans did was actually give people a license to bully. Good morning, everybody. We'll take a quick break here. First Shift continues on 1310 WDTW after this break.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Right now at the Home Depot, buy new Martha Stewart Living Carpet and get it installed for just $37. You also get lifetime stain and installation warranties. So it's never been easier to completely transform a room with better carpet at a better price. It all starts with $37 installation on Martha Stewart Living Carpet. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid on basic installation, U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, give me the Gretchen Whitmer audio.
I personally have had some pretty hard days here in the Senate this term, whether it was what happened to the school aid fund or raising pension taxes or the continued assault on the middle class. I think this was my lowest point personally. Because here today you claim to be protecting kids and you're actually putting them in more danger. There are at least 10 Michigan children in the past decade whose deaths are directly attributable to bullying. I have their names and their ages here, but I can't read them. I think they've been too victimized as it is. But had this bill that you're going to pass today been law in effect while they were alive, how many of their deaths would have been prevented? Zero. You may be able to pat yourself on the back today and say that you did something, but in actuality, you're explicitly outlining how to get away with bullying. Your exceptions have swallowed the rule. As passed today, bullying kids is okay if a student, parent, teacher, or school employee can come up with a moral or religious reason for doing it. But bullying is not okay. We should be passing public policy that protects kids, all kids, from bullies, all bullies. But instead, you've set us back further, creating a blueprint for bullying. So this might solve a political problem that the Republicans have, but be clear, you are papering over the problem that is a reality faced by hundreds of kids in Michigan schools every day. In fact, not only does this not protect kids who are bullied, it further endangers them by legitimizing excuses for tormenting a student. And the saddest and sickest irony of this whole thing is that it's called Matt's Safe School Law. And after the way that you've gutted it, it wouldn't have done a damn thing to save Matt. This is worse than doing nothing. It's a Republican license to bully. I ask that my comments be recorded in the journal as my no vote explanation.
Yeah, and so here's the problem. They don't enumerate, so it doesn't protect for sexual orientation, doesn't do a lot of things. And imagine, if you will, and I'm trying to think of a scenario where for religious or moral reasons, it's okay to bully. Can somebody give me an example? I'm serious now. Somebody give me an example where for religious or moral reasons, it was okay to bully someone. Because I can't fathom what it would be. I can't. What would be a religious reason, a moral reason to bully someone? And by the way, the Democrats, the 11 of them that were in the Senate yesterday, they only have 12, but the 11 that were there fought tooth and nail to include amendments to this anti-bullying bullcrap that they passed. And each one of them were shot down. Senator Glenn Anderson, who's been on this program, lost a discharge vote for his anti-bullying bill, as well as an amendment to the one that was passed requiring a description of what a student could be bullied for, such as their race, gender, or sexual orientation. But Senator John Papageorge, a Republican from Troy, said the bill would allow local schools to decide whether to enumerate bullying circumstances. They hate people. Legislative Republicans just hate people. It's wrong. It's just wrong. So the Republicans will carry some kind of banner that says, we care about kids. We passed anti-bullying legislation, which, by the way, gives loopholes to actually bully people. Can you fathom why that would be? I'm going to go back to the old follow the money thing. And at this point, it's probably not even about money. It's about that tired Republican conservative moralistic, whatever, their fake moralistic agenda that, you know, because they hate gay people, that they're not going to include gays in this bullying legislation, anti-bullying legislation. The majority of Republicans hate homosexuals. They hate blacks. They hate most minorities. You know, that's clear. You know, and our state Republicans are a particularly evil brand of Republican because, as we found out through the Manny Maroon Bridge thing, they're easily bought. Mike Kowal and others easily purchased for a few thousand dollars here and there. And as long as the business agenda of this state moves forward, which Governor Snyder has put his stamp of approval on, then the Republicans are okay. They are so enjoying having the majority right now that, and they could care less. Again, they hate the majority of us. They could care less what other people think. And it saddens me to live in a state that is so, I don't know, disrespectful, that they disregard the general welfare of other people. Where you cut unemployment benefits, you cut welfare benefits, you force a means test for food assistance based on the fact that you might have a car that actually runs. I mean, how offensive does it have to get before, you know, you do more than just go, well, I don't know what to do about it? Because there is something you can do about it. You can be harassing the living you know what out of these people in Lansing right now. You should and could be doing it, and you're not. Oh, some of you are, and those of you that are, thank you, and I love you, and I appreciate you. I truly do. But to get mad is not enough. You know, again, I mentioned that they're messing now with state employees' benefits packages, taking away their lifetime health care. That's a huge issue, folks. That's about, you know, being humane. That once you retire from a lifetime of public service, that you should no longer be honored for that service. And if you think that when Democrats finally get the House and the Senate back, that they can just go back and reverse all this stuff, it ain't that easy, folks. It ain't that easy. But Republicans, well, frankly, they don't care. Because right now, what they have is an opportunity. Would the Democrats be as sly? I'll leave you with that question. When we come back, Tino Reynolds with the Michigan Environmental Council, lead poisoning. Diane Cross with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. This is First Shift. I'm disgusted. This is First Shift. I'll be back.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update is getting a little busier for drivers on M10 as you make your way on the Lodge, heading northbound toward the Davison and then up toward the Southfield Freeway. A little bit busier there, southbound coming off the Reuther. We've got a few extra cars and then in pockets all the way in toward downtown.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. There is a chance of an isolated shower today. Look for a high near 50. Tonight, some clouds, a low near 34. Tomorrow, sunny and 52. Right now, it's overcast and 50 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, Herman Cain keeps getting questions about sexual harassment allegations. CNN's Bob Costantini reports Cain is clamming up when asked about it.
Escorted out of a Virginia event by doctors, Herman Cain got testy with the media tagging along.
Okay, don't even bother.
Herman Cain is in no mood to talk about the revived accusations of sexual harassment once lodged against him.
Excuse me.
Now that one of the women involved is trying to talk to the media, the stakes for Cain's presidential campaign are getting higher. A Quinnipiac poll taken before this week's revelations has Cain out in front nationally over Mitt Romney. Bob Costantini, CNN, Washington.
The leaders of Germany and France say Greece won't get any more financial help until the country votes on a bailout plan. President Obama is at the G20 summit in France and says he thinks a bailout deal can be worked out.
Here at the G20, we're going to have to flesh out more of the details about how the plan will be fully and decisively implemented.
There could be a vote in Greece next month. Oakland police fired tear gas at several hundred people at an Occupy Wall Street protest overnight. Police say the demonstrators were throwing rocks and shooting fireworks at officers. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says she wasn't surprised to find out that former Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi had a crush on her.
Quite extraordinary and weird and a bit creepy. I had actually known that he had this fixation on me. A couple of foreign minister friends told me, and also a couple of my staff.
Rice was on with Piers Morgan. Next time you wait for the cable guy, think about how much it's costing you. A new Zogby poll found time spent waiting for in-home services cost American workers almost $38 billion. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Right now at the Home Depot, buy new Martha Stewart Living Carpet and get it installed for just $37. You also get lifetime stain and installation warranties. So it's never been easier to completely transform a room with better carpet at a better price. It all starts with $37 installation on Martha Stewart Living Carpet. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid on basic installation, U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
I'm Charles Osgood. The true measure of any insurance company comes when you need it the most. And maybe that's why, when it comes to claims, auto owners insurance is known throughout the insurance industry as the no-problem people. Since the year 1916, auto owners insurance has been there when you need them. Auto owners insurance, the no-problem people. To find the independent insurance agent nearest you, visit autoowners.com. That's autoowners.com.
It's a challenging confluence for new college grads, high unemployment making it difficult to land that first job, and student loan debt now crossing an ominous threshold. The Project on Student Debt says for the first time, average student loan debt for last year's college graduates topped $25,000 per person. Good news for Kraft Foods is coming at the hands of bad news for you. The company, along with the rest of the food industry, has been hiking prices, and you're paying them. Kraft is reporting increases in third quarter earnings and sales, primarily because of those higher prices, which did not appear to scare consumers off, as they often do. One drag was Kraft's loss of a contract to carry Starbucks coffee in stores. It's replacing it with Javalia in January. Ongoing Greek debt worry helped pull global stock markets down again today for a time. Asian indexes lost 1 to 2%, but European markets have shaken off losses. S&P NASDAQ futures now gaining 4 points each. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Thank you for calling Bank. Our banking hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
You have reached
Bank. Please call back during our normal business hours.
Welcome to hours on Monday through Friday.
It is after 5 p.m. We are closed. Hi, thanks for calling Ally Bank. How may I help you?
If your bank doesn't have a real person available 24/7, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense, just people sense. Member FDIC.
If you run a business, you've always got decisions on your mind.
Reducing my costs, protecting my people.
Fortunately, Aflac is an easy decision. It lets you enhance employee benefits at no direct cost to your company. Aflac is insurance that pays cash benefits directly. And since it's voluntary, it costs your business nothing.
Better benefits at no cost.
Aflac! That's what I'm talking about.
Call 1-866-61-AFLAC or visit aflac.com/protect.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries. Oh, no. We install them fast and free with purchase on most vehicles. And we mean fast. If strapping on an experimental jetpack would help us install your battery any faster, we'd do it. Unfortunately, jetpacks can be squirrely. Too bad, because we really wanted those things. Fast, free battery installation at Advance. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, folks. Hour two of a three-hour show. The best is yet to come. With each, you know, passing minute of the show, we've got such great stuff to bring to you today. At 7:35, the bottom of the hour, Jeff Breslin, president of the Michigan Nurses Association, will be checking in with us from Washington, D.C. We'll explain all that to you a little bit later on. We've got the Occupy Detroit folks coming up at 7:50. But in this segment, I got to tell you, I was a little surprised to learn what I learned when I was preparing for this segment. Lead poisoning is not something that we either talk about much or we hear about much anymore. And I think for the majority of us think that that's because we've handled it in this state and in the country, right? Lead poisoning is not an issue. You'd be dead wrong, and dead might be the key word there. So let's go there. Joining me now is Tina Reynolds. Tina is the Health Policy Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. She holds a law degree from Wayne State University and a bachelor's degree in natural resources from the University of Michigan School of Natural Resources. She is a member of the state bar, and she has worked as a law clerk and as an environmental policy analyst for the Michigan House of Representatives, amongst many other very critical and important jobs. And she's here with us today to place some focus on, again, an issue that we have kind of ignored unnecessarily, I would add, and that is lead poisoning. And I want to welcome you to the show, Tina. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you. Good morning to you.
I guess I'm as guilty as everybody else, but when I first started looking at the material for today's show, I was stunned to learn that lead poisoning is still a significant problem in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, you know, in fact, Michigan is, in terms of numbers, the fifth worst in the nation in terms of lead poisoned children here.
Well, you know, it's stunning, and let me just give just one fact. Approximately 70% of the housing stock in Michigan was built before 1978, and that was the year in which lead paint was banned. So, Tina, the reality is there are millions of homes throughout the state of Michigan that have lead-based paint and the potential to poison people in their homes, and I just don't think people understand that.
Yeah, you know, I think that you're right. Case in point, when, you know, I came to meet with a lot of our new policymakers and legislators and talked about some environmental health concerns that we had, you know, for the safety of children, I mean, I got a lot of blank stares and confused looks when, you know, I mentioned lead poisoning is an issue we're working on very hard. And, you know, a majority consensus was, you know, we banned lead paint in 1978. We don't have lead in gasoline anymore. This is something that we've put to bed a long time ago. You know, and they were just as surprised as many other folks are to learn that lead is still, you know, the number one environmental health hazard for our children.
Yeah, no question. And it's also a very expensive environmental health hazard. And lead poisoning costs Michigan to the tune of almost $5 billion a year in lost time earnings and for kids who are impaired by lead. Again, an astounding fact, Tina, that we're just not aware of.
Well, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, that report was done by the Ecology Center. It was called The Cost of Pollution. And that just looked at the lost lifetime earning potential. So that would be job and tax revenue, but that doesn't include any special education costs, a higher rate of incarceration. Incarceration costs $40,000 a year to taxpayers. It doesn't look at medical costs, and that doesn't look at the cost, the social cost on that family.
Well, let's talk a little bit, Tina, about the complications of lead exposure. What are they?
Well, lead is linked to, of course, IQ problems, loss of IQ, behavioral problems, including aggressiveness, poor decision making, hyperactivity, you know, which all, of course, result in learning struggles, can be linked to organ damage, hearing deterioration, slow growth, appetite, weight loss. And so, you know, with only 20% of our kids tested for lead poisoning, you know, I bet many kids have lead poisoning that are presenting to a pediatrician with, you know, some of these symptoms that are, you know, could be misdiagnosed or, you know, some other kind of complications resulting.
Well, that brings up an interesting question. If that 20% figure is correct, do we know what that means in terms of numbers? How many kids actually have lead poisoning?
You know, no, we don't. You know, only about 20% of our children are tested, and we just don't know. You know, there's been efforts underway with pediatricians to let them know, you know, that it's important for children under the age of 6 to be tested on a regular basis for lead exposure. We've worked with hospital associations over the years. The Department of Community Health has, you know, really been front and center in those efforts. But we would expect a greater number of children to turn up lead poisoned if we increased our testing. And, you know, in addition to that, research is underway. Currently, if a child has 10, a blood lead level of 10, they're considered lead poisoned and, you know, they're managed by the state. Research is showing that as little amount of 5, a level of 5 in blood is showing, you know, really poor symptoms for our children. And so there's a movement afoot, and we expect within a couple of years that number to be even lower. So we would expect even more of our children to meet that threshold.
Can you be cured of lead poisoning?
You really can't. It's permanent damage. It's permanent damage.
Wow,
you will have lost function.
Well, Tina, what are we doing about this?
Well, the state, of course, is trying to leverage every amount of money and dollar that they can get. You know, we are applying for different grants at the state level. The federal government is predominantly funding our lead program right now. There is no general fund dollars devoted to lead poisoning prevention, either testing the children, identifying the children, providing services for the children, you know, helping remediate or you know, make their homes lead safe. There's no general fund dollars there at all. And so the effort is definitely kind of slowing down. Other municipalities and counties in the state have applied for dollars, and some run their own programs as well, but none of them have the dollars that they need to reach the children that they should. Currently, we have about a 2.5-year wait list on the department's Lead Safe Housing program. That means you are an eligible family, income eligible, you have a child under the age of six, and you know there's a lead hazard in your home, and you still have to wait 2.5 years. I mean, basically, you know, we're waiting for children to receive a diagnosis of being poisoned before we can immediately fix their homes. And it's like, you know, a child is a canary in the coal mine. And that's really unfortunate that we're using our children in this way.
Yeah. Well, is there something that we can do to lobby, the legislature? Is it something that we should be doing at a federal level? I mean, what can we do to try to affect some change in this, Tina Reynolds?
I think it's all of the above. I think, you know, folks can definitely call their senators and representatives and say, you know, I'm really concerned about lead, and I'm concerned that the state doesn't contribute any general fund dollars to really address this. And then, you know, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is an incredibly expensive proposition. If we wanted to make, you know, all of Michigan's homes lead safe, we would have to do a lot of inspections and we're talking billions of dollars. So this is also something that we should be pulling our federal representatives in, because, you know, anyone I talk to on the state level, and as we know by reading in the paper, we just don't have those kind of resources in the state. So realistically, you know, if everyone gave a little bit. And then, you know, education and outreach is really, really important, because you can have lead in your home and it doesn't have to be a lead poisoning risk for your child. You know, if you can encapsulate, you can, you know, remove windows and doors, you can, you know, wet mop clean. So just letting parents know and caregivers know, anyone with young children, you know, to look at their house, to test the surroundings, to, you know, to be aware.
Molly, I think this is critically important. Again, Tina Reynolds, I was stunned when I did the homework for this segment today. And then, you know, I should mention that this is 100% preventable. Let's not forget to throw that in there. And we were kind of inferring that just now, but it is 100% preventable. And when you've got something that you can completely prevent, obviously it's worth the energy and effort it takes and the dollars it will take to prevent this from happening.
Oh, right. I mean, this is, you know, you think about environmental health concerns and conditions, and you think of, you know, possible link to autism, you think of asthma, you think of, you know, mercury, you think of some other things. And, you know, lead poisoning is really the only environmental health concern. We 100% know causation. There is no unsettled science. There is no, it could be this factor and your genes interacting. I mean, it's cut and dry. I mean, if you have lead in your blood, you were exposed to lead, you ingested lead, you breathed in lead, you know, so we completely know causation. And, you know, when children are tested and diagnosed with lead, the first thing that's done is their home is inspected and they find out, you know, where this exposure came from. And sometimes it's their home. Sometimes, you know, we've had cases where it's grandma's house or a caregiver's house or babysitter's house. You know, your home could be lead safe, and if you bring your child to childcare, especially in a home setting, you know, they could be exposed in that circumstance. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, you know, Tina, I want to thank you for being with us, and certainly I would suggest if your child's maybe having an unexplained issue, ask the doctor to test for lead poisoning. You may just be unpleasantly surprised that that's the issue. At least they can start treating it at that point. Tina, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
The amazingly important story. Blew my mind. Folks, we got to pay attention to this kind of stuff. We'll take a quick break here. Much more to get to on the other side. I'm Tony Trupiano. You're listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, getting busier, 96 eastbound. Traffic coming in from Kensington, trying to head all the way in toward 275, 696, and then eastbound on the Ruther before Orchard Lake. We had an earlier accident where a deer was hit, and unfortunately that's slowing things down for those trying to get toward M10. If you're on 75 south, slow coming in towards 696. I'm Diane Cross. That's traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for sun today, a high near 50, but there is a slight chance of showers. Tonight, some clouds and 34. Tomorrow, sunny and 52. Right now, it's overcast. 49 degrees at the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me is Professor Gordon Lafer.
One of the problems with one of the versions of right to work that somebody is talking about introducing in Michigan, which would be aimed strictly at teachers and the school system. There has never been a right to work law like that because it makes no economic sense. You're not going to attract companies into out of state by attacking teachers. But what you will do is put Michigan at a competitive disadvantage in recruiting and retaining the highest quality teachers. If you say, well, we're going to cut down, you know, union bargaining power and wages and benefits for Michigan teachers, any teacher who has a choice who's deciding are they going to go to Michigan or a neighboring state is going to have an incentive to go elsewhere. So at a time when the state is trying to have a strong education system, I mean, both for all kinds of reasons, including being able to compete for these higher skilled jobs, to put in a law that says we're going to undermine the quality of teachers we can attract seems backwards economically.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, just a quick side note before we get back to our regularly scheduled show. I'm going to give you a phone number in just a minute, and I want you to write it down, and then a little later on, for those of you that have been anxious to explore the opportunity of unionizing your workplace, this is going to be the safest way to do it. And the reason I say it that way is because, you know, we understand that it can be very, very challenging and difficult when you're in a workplace that is perhaps not safe, perhaps the work that you do is not valued, perhaps you're put in harm's way, perhaps you and your coworkers are treated with utmost disrespect, and you'd like to do something about it. Understanding that, you know, having a union in your workplace is not only 100% legal, but for some people it can be the difference between life and death. That being said, I understand that it can be a very frightening proposition to start a union in your workplace. I'm trying to make this as simple as I can for each and every one of you. Call 1-800-321-6406. That's 1-800-321-6406. 321-6406 and just ask them for information. Completely anonymous. You can ask them any question. There's no such thing as a stupid question. Ask them any question you want about organizing. This does not commit you to doing anything but just getting some information. And I really want to recommend that you do that. So many of you have reached out to me. Yeah, when push came to shove, you didn't want somebody to call you or you didn't want to take it any further, and I get it. So what I've done is I've set up a toll-free number where you can get completely, it's a free call, obviously a non-commitment to getting information, doesn't commit you to doing anything, 1-800-321-6406, ask all the questions you need, and then when you're ready to move forward, when you're ready to unionize, to organize your workplace, you will have a really great starting point. I know you're ready. Some of you are absolutely ready to do this. 1-800-321-6406. Okay. This can sound like a crazy little story, but I want to mention it because it's going to confuse some of you. On November 9th, which is next Wednesday, you know the emergency broadcast test you hear on TV and sometimes on radio? It's that beeping and the weird sounds. Well, next week, every American radio and television provider will air a first-ever simultaneous nationwide test of the emergency alert system. And the reason I'm telling you this is because it may last for up to 3.5 minutes. And so that's going to be a very long time. Now, the emergency alert system was put in place so that if the there's a national emergency, it would be a rallying point, to know that this is serious stuff. But the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Federal Communications Commission said that they have worked with broadcasters for 2 years on this national assessment of the effectiveness of the system that was created to relay presidential messages. So the Michigan Association of Broadcasters, like the federal government, said it wants people to know about the test ahead of time so they don't panic when the cross-country alert sounds at 2 p.m. on November 9th. And according to Carol White, who is the president and CEO of the broadcast group that represents 90% of the state's radio and TV stations, the only way we can tell if it works live is to do it live. So that'll be coming up on Wednesday, November 9th at 2 p.m. Again, you're going to hear it on radio and TV. Do not panic. Now, not all of them will be 3.5 minutes long. Some of them will be a minute or less. But they just wanted to get this information out. I thought it was important to share it with you. So I am sharing it with you. Get a load of me. Get a load of me. I really did want to get to this this story. Michigan is rethinking vehicles being counted as assets against the food stamp program. And, here's the problem. And I just, this is the easiest way for me to deal with it. If you got a bridge card and you have a car that's worth $5, $10, $15, $20,000, the state all of a sudden was saying you're not eligible. Because obviously if you have a car that's worth $5,000 or more, you don't need food assistance. Now, at what level that made logical sense to people, I don't know. But again, we're talking about Republicans and they don't like people, so they don't care. But for people that have a car, now let's say that your car was paid off and then you were hit with a layoff and then another layoff in your family. And then all of a sudden, you have no income and your unemployment benefits ran out because the Republicans cut the unemployment benefits. All you have is your vehicle. A lot of people lose their home before they lose their vehicle. Some people have been given a vehicle by a family member or friend that is, worth something. And so, in fact, Congressman Gary Peters, who I'm hoping to have on the show on Monday, his staff reached out to me last night, but we just don't have time until Monday to get him on, is actually putting together federal legislation that would ban the use of a vehicle as an asset test. And, in fact, the congressman had sent a letter to Governor Snyder asking him to reconsider. Well, the state is now reconsidering that. And, in fact, I have information this morning that the state is also reconsidering the cutoff for the welfare program. Now that it is in effect, they are beginning to understand the full gravity of what they've done. There are way too many people reliant for their life, for their very lives, on both the welfare program and the bridge card program. You know, folks, not everybody that's in those programs, and so many of you think this, and that's the part that really disturbs me. Not everybody that's on the welfare program and on the food stamp program or the bridge program are, you know, deadbeats just trying to get away with something. And I know there are people out there that think that I'm just a fool for saying that. But I'm not. In fact, the vast majority of people in those programs need them. Can you fathom a scenario, just a yes or no question, can you fathom a scenario where if you actually went back to work, it would cost you more money? Think about it. You've got a couple kids. You're going to need to get daycare for them. You can only get a job making, I don't know, $9 an hour, $8 an hour. But you throw in the cost of daycare and the associated costs with that, and all of a sudden, it's actually much more expensive for you to go to work than it is to stay home. And that's just one of a multitude of reasons why we need to just take a deep breath, slow down, and reassess the assistance that people are getting. Jeff Breslin on the other side of this, president of the Michigan Nurses Association. I like this guy a whole lot. He's in Washington, D.C. He'll check in with us. And then, of course, we've got the Occupy Detroit coming up in just a bit. Two people arrested. One will be with us at 7:50. Stay tuned. This is First Shift. We'll be back right after this break.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update, things are getting busier along M59, our construction zone, where you head in toward Crooks, trying to get toward I-75 and toward Opdyke Eden. That's the other end of it. With those orange barrels there, we do see the delays, and in the morning, it's heaviest on the westbound side. 75 south getting heavier for that traffic heading down in towards 696, trying to get past 9 Mile. West on the route, they're also getting busier, trying to come in toward the 75 interchange.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for sun today, a high near 50, but there is a slight chance of showers. Tonight, some clouds and 34. Tomorrow, sunny and 52. Right now, it's overcast. 49 degrees at the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Occupy Oakland's general strike drew thousands of supporters in a day of action Wednesday that included rallies and a march in the port of Oakland with the intent of shutting it down. Port Director Omar Benjamin said the port was effectively shut down by the general strike. Oakland Mayor Gene Kwan called for a minimal police presence and said the city of Oakland is progressive and supports the goals of the Occupy Wall Street movement. She said she was working with the Oakland police chief to ensure that general strikers got their message across without the conflict that marred last week's events. She referred to the police attack on the Occupy Oakland protest that hospitalized Iraq War vet Scott Olson with a skull fracture. The Oakland Education Association is among the unions that supported the Oakland general strike. OEA President Betty Olson-Jones.
Must be over 10,000 now. Incredible energy. It's just a huge range of ages, from little tiny kids to grandmothers carrying signs, every ethnicity you can imagine. It's just been beautiful. There's a real arc from Madison that helps ignite a lot of this, and it's just very exciting to see that it's catching hold throughout the country.
Some Oakland businesses put up signs saying they were closed during the general strike, and Oakland's Grand Lake Movie Theater replaced its usual movie marquee with this message: "We proudly support the Occupy Wall Street movement, closed Wednesday to support the strike."
Know that you are part of the 99%. It's important that our students see this historic moment and that they participate in whatever way they can. Everybody across the country needs to understand there is such a connection between the banks and the corporations being bailed out and what's happening to education and social services throughout this country. It's not right. It needs to change.
Due to alleged company misconduct, the UFCW may get another union election at a New York Target store. Jesse Russell reports.
The National Labor Relations Board has reviewed new evidence that suggests the corporation may have used the threat of store closure to intimidate employees into voting against representation by the United Food and Commercial Workers. The UFCW has been billing a case that the retailer violated labor laws at a Valley Stream Long Island location leading up to the vote. Other allegations include management interrogating workers thought to be organizing and illegal surveillance. If the allegations prove to have merit, the NLRB could schedule a second election. The union is also seeking more information on an employee they say was fired for union activity. That complaint had previously been withdrawn due to a lack of evidence. Target doesn't currently have any unionized stores, but the UFCW has active campaigns and nearly a dozen in New York.
This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. Tweet, tweet, tweet. My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano and First Shift, First Shift, First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back 35 minutes after the hour. As promised, Jeff Breslin, president of the Michigan Nurses Association, joins us this morning. He's in Washington, D.C., and we'll let Jeff tell you why, but we are pleased to welcome back to First Shift, Jeff Breslin. Jeff, thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm not good, Jeff. I'm really not well. I got to tell you, I look at what's happening on the state level, what the Republicans are doing. Yesterday, the anti-bullying legislation particularly upsets me. What they're trying to do to retirees' health care here in the state. Then I take a look at what's happening on the national level, which will tie me into why you're in Washington, D.C. this morning. We've got this super committee that's supposedly going to save us trillions of dollars, Jeff, but they won't even meet with their constituents to ask what they think will work. You know, and we'll remind people that you, the folks at the Michigan Nurses Association, are involved in a really critical program right now to highlight what's happening around the country, and I'll direct them to the fightmainstreet.org website, or fightformainstreet.org website. You know, Jeff, there's a lot of reasons to not be terribly good right now.
I would have to agree. You know, it's a shame that you get people that are elected into office that want to pay more attention to the donors, the corporations, and Wall Street interest than what they do their own constituents, the people that put them there.
Well, we look at the super committee, and let's focus on what's some of our representatives on the west side of the state. We saw in their last filing that they are literally, Jeff, bringing in thousands upon thousands of contributions from the wealthiest people and corporations in this country. Yet they're totally ignoring the will of the people by not giving them access to this process. There's something unconscionable about that.
There absolutely is. You know, we've asked several times in multiple different ways for them to hold a town hall meeting, and the response that we're getting is, okay, well, we've held many town hall meetings. Okay, sure, you may have, but you're not talking about the issues that are first and foremost on the agenda right now.
Well, let me let people know that we're actually not just the west side, the middle of the state as well. Representative Dave Camp of Midland and then Fred Upton of St. Joseph, who are both on the super committee, are both have brought in, again, hundreds upon thousands of contributions since they were appointed to the super committee. And again, the Michigan nurses have been focusing on trying to take better care of all of us. Jeff, let's remind people what the fight for Main Street is all about, because we did have you on for that, but that was, I don't know, eight weeks ago or so. So let's refresh people's memories on that.
The fight for Main Street, the nurses are leading the way on that. You know, we advocate for our patients every single day at the bedside, but we can't do that just at the bedside anymore. There are so many things going on that affect our patients and their ability to get health care, their ability to live. And the fight for Main Street, the Main Street campaign, advocates for health care for all. It advocates for jobs at living wages, good quality public education for everybody, and a just taxation system.
Well, again, and let me, and we'll get this up as well on the Facebook page, but fightformainstreet.org is where you're going to go to get all that information. So you folks have decided at the Michigan Nurses Association, in conjunction with the national nurses, that enough's enough. You're not just going to sit back and take it. You've done some radio advertising in different parts of the state. You've done some billboards. What do you hope, Jeff Breslin, to accomplish by this campaign?
We hope to get, in particular, with the radio ads and the billboard campaigns, we hope to get David Kemp and Fred Upton to hold town hall meetings with their constituents to hear directly from them their thoughts on what should be done as far as their super committee involvement. You know, they're looking at cutting some basic services. They're looking at cutting from people who do not have much. They're cutting their medical care. And there's a different way that would be much, much better. If they impose a small financial transaction tax on the Wall Street dealings, it's less than 1%. It's not going to affect the companies that are doing all the transactions, but it would make an incredible impact on the average person. It would eliminate the need to cut the basic services that they should get.
Well, you know, it's interesting as I was thinking about this last night, you know, getting ready for the show for today, and I'm thinking about all the issues that Fred Upton and Dave Kemp really have no connection to. They don't live in a world that you and I live in. Jeff Breslin, they don't understand what, you know, your rank and file union members do on a daily basis at the bedside of people of all walks of life, and nurses don't treat anybody differently, whether they come in with the best health insurance in the world or no health insurance at all. I mean, who better to you know, provide a voice to the fight of what this nation needs than the nurses? And, you know, the last time I had you on the show, you know, we talked about the burden that places on a nurse to see how families are torn apart by illness. This has nothing to do with how much money you have. Of course, that's a factor, but that's not what this is about. You know, there's an emotional component to this that shouldn't be ignored. And yet politicians so easily ignore the real problems that are happening. Nurses don't have that choice, Jeff. They don't.
That is absolutely so true. You know, the politicians, when they end up being hospitalized, and I hope that they don't as well as anybody. I don't want people to come into the hospital. If they're coming into the hospital, it's because they have something tragic happen in their life. But when the politicians come into the hospital, they are treated like a VIP. And when that happens, they don't get the same care that everybody else does. They have extra staff in many cases that are brought in to take care of them. They don't see what's really happening to the average person.
No, they don't. You know, it's I'm reading a quote here. You guys were provided me some information, and there's a quote from Emily Fredrickson, who is a registered nurse and a constituent to Fred Upton, and she says, "My fellow nurses and I see the suffering that our patients are going through due to actions of big corporations and Wall Street that helped ruin our economy, suffering far beyond what we can fix at the bedside." She goes on to say, "If Congressman Upton is serious about solving problems like unemployment and foreclosure that plague Michigan, he needs to take time to listen to his constituents like me and my neighbors. But here's the key to it, Jeff. I don't begrudge corporations their riches, but they should spend their profits on hiring people instead of purchasing votes from politicians. The voice of every individual should count and be heard, whether they can pay for it or not." That is at the crux of all this, and I'm assuming that's why you're in Washington, D.C. today, to remind these people that everybody should have access to them, not just those that can write a big, fat, freaking check.
That is so incredibly true. You know, we talk about having Wall Street pay a tax on their transactions, and I hear a few people that are in the opposition talk about, oh, so you just want the rich to pay for it all. That's not it at all. We just want them to pay their fair share. You know, a very small tax on the Wall Street transaction, this already exists in some form or another in about 40 other countries, and it's working well there.
Yeah, and in fact, and we'll get into that in greater detail at some other time. We just don't have time to get into all the particulars of that. But this idea, you know, we talked, Jeff, about economic fairness. I've really come to enjoy that phrase because, you know, our economic equality, I'm sorry, economic equality does not mean, and let me be very, very crystal clear on this, it does not mean that I should have, you know, access to all the corporate riches. Listen, they take the risk. I understand that they're doing research and development. I could go on and on and on. And I don't begrudge a corporation their success. If they're successful, God bless them. Let them be successful. If there are individuals within that corporation that make disgusting amounts of money, so be it. But here's the problem I have. While the corporate CEO or those executive vice presidents or those vice presidents, and you keep on moving down that management ladder, as they continue to be rewarded for doing things like cutting jobs and taking shortcuts and really, you know, putting the race towards the bottom on a faster pace, that's what I have an issue with. That's not economic equity. It's just not.
That is very, very well put. You know, in this country, the thing that they don't seem to be keeping track of, you sit there and you take and take and take from the average person. Who is it that supports all of these corporations? Who is it that goes in and buys their products? It's a chain. If you don't have the average person out spending the money that they are able to earn when they're able to earn it, then the smaller businesses end up going out of business, and you get a very large gap between the average person and the super rich. This country is one of the richest in the world. That hasn't changed. What has changed is the amount of money is being shifted from the working class to the super rich.
Well, and we saw with that data last week and talked about it earlier this week on the show, how the 1% have seen a 275% increase in their personal wealth, the bottom 20% and 18%. Increase. Jeff Breslin, we're just out of time. Have a very, very good trip and a safe trip to Washington, D.C. I'll look forward to seeing you again sometime soon. You're always welcome on the show, Jeff.
Thank you, Tony. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Don't forget, folks, fightformainstreet.org. Fightformainstreet.org. We'll get that up on the Facebook page. They do have a petition there that I'd like you to sign. Just remind these lawmakers, it really is us that's in charge. When we come back, Occupy Detroit, I'm Tony Trupiano, and this is 1310 WDTW.
The hottest Michigan news talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Right now at the Home Depot, buy new Martha Stewart Living Carpet and get it installed for just $37. You also get lifetime stain and installation warranties. So it's never been easier to completely transform a room with better carpet at a better price. It all starts with $37 installation on Martha Stewart Living Carpet. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid on basic installation, U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
It's the two-day sale at Toys R Us this Friday and Saturday. Doorbusters start Friday 3 p.m. through Saturday 1 p.m. Get 25% off top-selling Lego construction sets, plus 50% off hot toys from Razer, Disney, Princess, and more. Join Jeffrey for the ultimate kickoff to Christmas this Saturday from noon to 3 p.m. Try out this season's hottest toys and create your holiday wish list. Toys R Us, the world's greatest toy store.
Exclusions apply. Store hours may vary. Visit a store or ToysRUs.com for offer details.
Recently on First Shift,
David Hecker, who is president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan,
about the American Jobs Act. The Republicans will stand up and vote no, but what I'd love them to stand up and say is I vote no because I think there should be 54 kids in a kindergarten class. I vote no because I don't care that the response time of police officers and firefighters have skyrocketed because of layoffs, because that is the only reason someone would have to vote no, is that they just don't care.
First Shift with Tony Trigano
on 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. We are waiting for our occupier, who is probably calling in as we speak. So we'll give Jeff and Anthony a chance to get her all settled, and we will... We will move on to our Occupy Detroit segment today. And I did want to remind you that they are doing some reorganizing. So we're not going to focus today on what they need besides some, you know, cash, because you can do that at the website. And then we're going to talk about office space. as far as food and clothing and all the other stuff, we will let you know. And I will make sure, because tomorrow being Friday, that we have that all set before the weekend. Some of you had sent me some emails. All right. As I announced earlier in the show, there was an event at Wayne State University yesterday. A television show was being taped, and some of the protesters from Occupy Detroit went over to exercise their First Amendment rights. It's exactly what they did. Two of them, as we now know, were arrested. One of them's on the line with me today, and joining me now is Susie Reed, one of my new favorite occupiers. Susie, welcome to First Shift.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
You're my hero now. Listen, you,
one of many out there.
Well, you know, I have to say that I appreciate, and we'll set this up. So let me let you set it up. Let's talk about what happened yesterday. You decided to go over to Wayne State. There was the chief executive officer of the New York Stock Exchange, Euronext, was there, and they were taping a television program, correct?
Yeah, correct.
All right. Susie, what happened at that point?
So, you know, I had RSVP'd to attend the taping of the show, and I just kind of went in, and I listened to him speak for a little while, and as the interview was proceeding, he was talking about some things such as changing the culture of the New York Stock Exchange, of trading culture, and of respecting employees. And eventually I decided that I would ask him a question and kind of call the question why he was sitting on a leadership show discussing leadership, whereas he, as a former executive of Goldman Sachs, and he's been the CEO of the New York Stock Exchange since the beginning of this financial meltdown, you know, I'm just curious how that really is a good example of what we see as leadership. And you know, I figured if he didn't have much trouble asking that question, if he wasn't part of the problem, then maybe he would be able to give a response. So,
that's a perfectly legitimate question, though, Susie. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the question you asked.
No, I don't think there was anything wrong with the question. I think the show, the producers felt very inconvenienced by my questioning kind of unexpectedly, which I can understand. But at the same time, you know, Mr. Niederauer has pretty greatly inconvenienced, you know, the whole world in his time as CEO at the New York Stock Exchange, has at least facilitated the system that's really hasn't served us at all. So, so you know, I apologize for inconveniencing the producers and the interviewer, but it comes down to it, you know, somebody's got to take a stand and kind of put people on the spot sometimes and hold them accountable.
All right, but Susie, I'm trying to determine at what point do they arrest you and what do they arrest you for?
So I was, you know, I was locked out the door and I was arrested promptly after that in the hallway. And I got a ticket for misdemeanor for disorderly conduct in a public space, which I'll go to court for.
I'm sorry, you got a ticket for disorderly conduct in a public place?
Yes, that's right.
For asking a question?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it comes down to. And Joe McGuire was also in there with me, a fellow organizer, and he received the same treatment, so...
All right. Let's be very clear on this. There was no violence. There was no, you know, you weren't dragged away. There was no huge drama involved. And because I don't want to paint this as something that it's not. But at the same time, it's completely asinine that you were given a ticket for asking a simple question.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't expecting it to end that way. You can only control your own actions. You can't really predict these things all the time. I figured they would ask me to leave, and I would have left right then. But, I mean, that's what happened. It resulted in an arrest.
All right. So let me ask, you know, from a legal standpoint, you were given a ticket. At some point, you're going to be given a court date, I would imagine?
Yes, that's right.
And I'm assuming because of your relationship with the National Lawyers Guild that they're going to be representing you, I would think.
Yep, that's the intention right now.
All right. Well, I mean, that's all good news. Of course, I'm still just, Susie, I'm trying to wrap my head around this idea that you show up to express your First Amendment rights, and you're doing it in the most honorable way. You're doing it peacefully, yeah, in the civil, you know, very civilly. And so you show up, you ask a completely legitimate question. You shared that question with us already. It's a completely legitimate question. Now, were you interrupting them, or was there actually an opportunity to ask questions?
There wasn't a planned Q&A, as far as I understand. You know, he finished his sentence at one point during the interview, and at that point I asked the question.
All right. And so, again, there's nothing that seems terribly out of place there. And so you ask a question, you walk out in the hallway, and they arrest you. I'm gonna ask, but I'll assume that the police were not overly aggressive with you?
No, and the police were very courteous throughout the whole thing. You know, just like I said, it wasn't anticipated. I wasn't expecting to be arrested yesterday, but... I guess we'll be dealing with that for the next few months now.
Yeah, well, you know, again, then no one said this was going to be easy, right, Susie Reed? So
right.
At some point, you know, at some point, you know, I think really there's a badge of honor here, and the reason I say that is that you and Joe, again, were doing this exactly the way Dr. Martin Luther King asked us to do things. I mean, this is truly an exemplification of, you know, what happens even when you do things right, and then what you did was 100% correct, that the system, if you will find a way to corrupt it. And sure enough, I don't know who was threatened. I don't know who asked, because at some point, Susie, somebody had to ask for you to be arrested. And they just don't have, I think, a legitimate reason. So it's a little bit insane. But I'm glad you're okay, Susie. And again, you're my hero. Yes, there are a lot of heroes. You're just my hero for today.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. Susie Reed again with us. So we got to take a break for the top of the hour. Susie, thanks for all you're doing for the Occupy movement. We appreciate it, folks. Don't forget, go to occupy-detroit.us. At the very top, it says donate. Do that. And if you've got that office space, I'm waiting for you. Tony at thetonyshow.org. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather. CNN with headline news. Director, producer Tom Shadyac. When we continue, it's going to be a very special hour. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update includes a pretty bad accident on the Lodge, southbound M10 at the Davis Inn. A number of vehicles are involved in that. We are already backed up toward almost Southfield. Drivers on 75 south at Sashabaugh, a car deer accident there. We've got 75 southbound at 9 Mile, an accident moved off to the side. M14 east at Beck, an accident. A Southfield Freeway south at Ford Road, a problem. 96 east near Merriman, an earlier accident has cleared, but we're backed up to 275.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for sun today, a high near 50, but there is a slight chance of showers. Tonight, some clouds and 34. Tomorrow, sunny and 52. Right now, it's overcast. 49 degrees at the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, Greece is being warned about what might happen if it fails to pass a bailout plan. CNN's Ali Belshi reports from the G20 summit in France, where the European debt crisis is taking center stage.
Last night, 2.5-hour meeting between Sarkozy of France, Angela Merkel of Germany, and Papandreou of Greece. Basically, they were telling him, number one, if there is, until the uncertainty is settled, not a cent more will go to Greece. They're supposed to receive much more money. That's not going to happen.
President Obama, who's joining world leaders in France, says Europe won't have to go about fixing its debt problems alone.
The United States will continue to be a partner with the Europeans to resolve these challenges.
The president says the G20 must hash out the details of the plan over the next couple of days. An Oklahoma Republican political consultant who now supports Rick Perry says he personally saw Herman Cain use inappropriate behavior toward a female employee while Cain was head of the National Restaurant Association. Chris Wilson says the alleged incident took place at a Virginia restaurant.
At the time, she was a very lower-level staffer. I think she was maybe 2 years out of college. And this all occurred at a restaurant in Crystal City, and everybody was very aware of it.
Cain says Perry's campaign leaked the sexual harassment allegations that surfaced this week. Closing arguments are set for today in the involuntary manslaughter trial of Michael Jackson's doctor, Conrad Murray. CNN legal expert Paul Callen explains why Murray's methods could come back to haunt him.
You have an IV set up in a man's bedroom administering propofol, an operating room drug. This stuff is supposed to only be used when you're having surgery.
China took an important step today in its goal to build a space station, an unmanned Chinese spacecraft docked with a lab module about 200 miles above Earth. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot has come up with a new way of buying windows and patio doors. It's called Buy More, Save More Pricing. Instant savings from $50 to $600 on all special order windows and patio doors. Instead of replacing a few windows right away and a few more later, this could let you do them all now, thanks to our all-new Buy More, Save More Pricing. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you, a fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
It's no secret that the parent company of Victoria's Secret enjoys strong sales most months thanks to its best-known chain. This morning, Limited Brands says sales at all its stores open at least a year rose 6% in October. That's roughly in line with forecasts. And it's enough for Limited to hike its earnings prediction for the fourth quarter. Also this morning, Costco reports so-called comp sales up 9% last month. Sounds good, but high prices for Costco gasoline hides the fact sales inside stores were a bit weaker than forecast. Amazon is becoming a lender of e-books, the company launching a service in which people can borrow a book for free. You get only one at a time. When you borrow a new book, the old one disappears from your device. It works only with the Kindle, and it's available only to subscribers of Amazon's Prime service, which will set you back $79 a year. European stock markets and U.S. stock futures have shaken off early losses. S&P, NASDAQ futures each gaining six. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Thank you for calling Bank. Our banking hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
You have reached Bank. Please call back during our normal business hours.
Welcome to our hours on Monday through Friday.
It is after 5 p.m. We are closed. Hi, thanks for calling Ally Bank. How may I help you?
If your bank doesn't have a real person available 24/7, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense, just people sense. Member FDIC.
If you run a business, you've always got decisions on your mind.
Reducing my costs, protecting my people.
Fortunately, Aflac is an easy decision. It lets you enhance employee benefits at no direct cost to your company. Aflac is insurance that pays cash benefits directly. And since it's voluntary, it costs your business nothing.
Better benefits at no cost.
Aflac! That's what I'm talking about.
Call 1-866-61-AFLAC or visit aflac.com/protect.
The Home Depot has come up with a new way of buying windows and patio doors. It's called Buy More, Save More Pricing. Instant savings from $50 to $600 on all special order windows and patio doors. Instead of replacing a few windows right away and a few more later, this could let you do them all now, thanks to our all-new Buy More, Save More Pricing. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you. A fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
And good morning, hour three of the First Shift program. And, you know, this actually, that was a great open for this hour, because what we're going to do in this hour is very different than what we normally do. And so I'm going to ask all of you, I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on today, to kind of take a step back from our big bad selves. That's all of us, me included. And listen, and perhaps you will learn something, because we're going to have a very uncommon dialogue this morning. We're going to talk to a man in just a minute who is certainly considered a genius in his field. He's a writer, actor, producer. He is responsible for films like The Nutty Professor and Bruce Almighty and Patch Adams and Accepted. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. And he also is responsible for an extraordinary documentary that you, the audience, came to me with and said, Tony, you have got to see this documentary titled I Am. And it's not that I was ignoring you. I was busy. And one a listener in particular, Joe Hicks, who will be calling in a little bit later, he was originally hoping to be with me in studio today, because this documentary, I think, changed his life as it did mine. And you'll find out why as we work our way through the hour. But it was you folks that reached out to me and really shook my cage and knew that this was something that I needed to see, that I needed to experience. And although in the 77 minutes of film that became the documentary I Am, for some people, and it's like one of those wonderful things where it, you know, it's that old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. This this film has so many different messages that for the same 10 people to watch it, could easily get 10 very different and incredible messages from it. So let me bring on to the show right now Tom Shadyac, the writer and director of an amazing documentary titled I Am. And Tom, I want to thank you for getting up with us awfully early for you and joining us on First Shift this morning.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It is early out here in Los Angeles, but it's a beautiful morning. So thanks for having us on.
Well, I appreciate it. Of course, before we go any further, I need to thank our mutual friend and my dear friend, Tom Hartman, who connected me to Harold, your media guy. And that's how we all got here today. Tom Hartman, and in, by the way, this beautiful film, I Am. Tom is just an amazing. I've known Tom for many, many years, and he has actually, Tom, very, very much responsible for helping to mentor me and to shape me into the talk show host I am today.
Well, he was one of my mentors as well. What you said earlier in the introduction, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and Tom was definitely a teacher for me. It's funny, when I first met Tom, I had no idea what his political leanings were. I read him and met him on principles alone, and the principles I found there really helped to wake me up and to change me. So Tom is one of those wonderfully researched, incredibly intelligent men that is helping us to reawaken to a new way.
No question. He also is heard on this very station. Of course, Tom is nationally syndicated and is heard noon here on the station. Tom Shadyac, again, my guest. I want to play just the opening part, a little opening salvo from the documentary I Am. Jeff, go ahead and play that audio.
My name is Tom Shadyac. I'm a movie director. Facing my own death brought an instant sense of clarity and purpose. I decided to grab a camera and a film crew of four and start a journey to spark a conversation around challenging and rarely asked questions. Have you ever seen any of my movies? Do you ever see Ace Ventura?
Ace Ventura? Do you ever hear that movie? It's a Jim Carrey movie.
No. We are asking some of today's significant minds, what's wrong with our world and what can we do about it? We started by asking what's wrong with the world, and we ended up discovering what's right with it.
And that is the beginning of this extraordinary 77 minutes of film. Now, Tom Shadyac, I have to tell you that, you know, we could do that typical interview thing where, you know, you're the multimillionaire director, very successful, worked for Bob Hope, all that's true, that, you know, you've... You're in the process of, you know, giving it away and, you know, funding wonderful things. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But really, I think this is an amazing opportunity, as I said, to have an uncommon dialogue today about the things that we know are right. We spend so much time talking about what is wrong that I think the greater messages of life are getting lost. And I'm as guilty of that as anybody, so I'll wear that myself, okay? I mean, I'm happy to do that because, you know, it's part of who I am. I'm sometimes angry. I don't like being angry sometimes. But I also understand that I have an important responsibility as a communicator on a daily basis to get information out to people. And so sometimes my passion, or we'll call that anchor, but my passion sometimes gets in the way of message. So I have to ask you, as you had, and I do want to talk about the accident, because I think that that's a pivotal part of why you have catapulted into this entirely new universe for you. So talk about that biking accident and how that changed you.
Well, the biking accident was pivotal for one key part of my journey, and that was making this movie. Now, I had already started shifting. It's one of the things that maybe I didn't communicate as well as I could have in the film. I had been starting this shift 10 to 15 years ago. I had begun to wake up to principles, again, that shocked me. I had no idea the way things work, if you will, the way we work, the way reality works. I began reading things like Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight from Tom Hartman, People's History from Howard Zinn, etc. So I began shifting and, you know, understanding that I was using far too many resources and that I was potentially a part of the problem and not a part of the solution, not as much a part of the solution as I certainly wanted to be. And what happened was when, so I'd already even moved into the mobile home park. For those of you who haven't seen the film, I've shifted and downsized quite a bit from a very large estate to a beautiful mobile home park. No one should feel sorry for me, but it's very much out of the vision of what we call successful in our culture. But I didn't have the courage to talk about it. And so I had made all these shifts, was in process of giving much of my money away, and I was sort of doing it alone and in the closet, if you will. And the bike accident, which was gave me post-concussion syndrome, and I truly faced what I thought was my own death. I thought it was over for me, my last chapter. And when I faced my last chapter, I said I didn't want to die with these ideas inside of me. I wanted to share them. I wanted to offer them to people, my journey to people, to see if it wouldn't be a part of their own, be a part of their own journey and shifting how they were walking in the world, the way they considered doing business with each other, relationships, etc. Because it affects everything. You know, these principles that awoke in me, it affects everything. So that was the shift, really, from the bike accident. But the shift was a much larger shift that had taken place classically over a long period of time.
You know, it's interesting as I and I know that you're, you know, I think it's fair for me to say that you're not a labels guy. You don't like labels, but I have to give you one because there is something that happened to me as I was watching I Am. I saw, you know, what I saw was this amazing, you have a gift. There's no question you have a gift. You're a storyteller. You're an amazing storyteller, but that's not the label I want to put on you. And at this point, I think that you're very much a guide. But that's not even the label I want to put on you. What I think, Tom Shadyac, more than anything, is that you've now become one of the messengers. Not unlike the people that you sought out and featured in this wonderful film, you have evolved into one of them, whether you realize that or not.
Well, if it's true that the word guide is appropriate for me, I feel that I am being guided by something. None of this is ever about me and my name and any of that stuff. It's really about the principles that are animating me. And that's all I want to really talk about with people. It's not about me and, oh, you gave this away or you did that. There's so much more that, you know, I'm walking into and learning and doing every day. So I'm walking it imperfectly, but the principles, the things that are guiding me, animating me, moving in me, that's really where the power is, and that's what everyone is a part of. So while I appreciate that, I believe that what is guiding me is the message. I believe that what is guiding me are those same principles that animated those that we hold most powerful in our culture, you know, from a Jesus to a Gandhi to a king to a person who's just devoted their life to, you know, love and service. That's kind of my point of view about it. And I think it's how we keep from dividing each other. It's really not about any Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, Tom Shadyac, this person, that person. It's about these things, this idea, you know, with a capital I.
Yeah, well, we're going to come take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this idea. We're going to get into some specifics. I Am the Doc is the website you want to go to, iamthedoc.com. That's iamthedoc.com. We'll get it up on our Facebook page. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. I am Tony Truppiano. We'll also take your questions via email, tony@thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break and be back. Stay with us.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch. Tony, our total traffic update includes lots of stuff going on. Southbound M10, an accident near the Davison. We're backed up to almost to the Southfield Freeway. Southbound 75, we are backed up from about Rochester all the way down to 9 Mile, where an earlier accident is on the shoulder. 696 West, an accident near Van Dyke. We are backed up to about Grosbeck, so that slows down your whole ride out to 75. Westbound 94, heavy coming in past 8 Mile Vernier, trying to head toward I-75. Northbound 275, backed up from almost Michigan as you head into 96 and M14.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. There's only a slight chance of showers today, a high near 50. Tomorrow, look for sunny skies and 52. Right now, it's overcast and 48. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Lindsay Blackwell. What gave you the idea to put together this website and start your own social media marketing campaign?
Well, it was a number of things. I'd heard various stories about other folks who'd done sort of these extreme job hunting efforts, and I knew that I had the ability and the knowledge of social media as a marketing tool to make something viral. And the website kind of was just something I came up with. I wanted to make a cover letter that was more than a cover letter. I wanted it to be something interactive, something that would not only impress Lisa, but would invite others in my social circle, and ultimately, I hope, around the world to kind of invest in me.
All right, now the website, for those that want to go look at it, and I'll give that out in a second, we'll also post it to the Facebook page, is www.dearlisarudgers, that's RUDGERS.com.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. My guest, Tom Shadyac, producer, director, well-known for the work he's done, becoming wider known for a documentary titled I Am. It was one of those movies that is almost viral in nature, finding me the way great movies find people, by others who saw it and were changed by it. And in fact, Tom Shadyac, the person that originally told me about this is a listener by the name of Joe Hicks, and Joe happens to be on hold. He was hoping to be in studio with me today, but could not. But let me bring Joe into the conversation and introduce the two of you to each other. Tom, meet Joe. Joe, meet Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Joe, I thank you for being head of our marketing department.
Well, I don't think it really needs any help.
We do.
Thank you for making the film.
You're welcome.
It's
Look,
changed
we really
my life.
Do need help.
Totally changed my life.
Oh, thank you, brother. I'm so happy. That's the ultimate, you know, for a person who puts out a piece of work into the world, that it's touched somebody. But we really do need people like you, Joe. I mean, this is, as Tony said, how a movie like this gets out there. All my other films, Bruce Almighty had, you know, tens of millions of dollars behind it, $30-40 million in the marketing department, and we have you. So I'll take you every day, Joe. So
well, thank you.
We appreciate you.
Joe, did you have any... go ahead, Joe. Did you have a specific question you wanted to ask Tom?
Yeah, I had a couple questions. I was going to ask him how much... books like, you know, Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight influenced the movie, but I already got my answer to that. So I also wanted to ask, did you know when you were making this film that it would be the perfect antidote to Atlas Shrugged? And did you know it would be coming out around the same time?
I'm sorry, the perfect antidote to what?
Atlas Shrugged.
Oh, Atlas Shrugged, I see. Well, I was certainly familiar with Atlas Shrugged and Ayn Rand's work. I'd tried to read The Fountainhead several times because it had moved friends of mine, and I found a philosophy that I very much part with, and I really couldn't get through it. I read it, you know, I think I read the first 100 pages three times and just couldn't bust through the rest of it. But no, I didn't make it with that intention at all. Again, it wasn't to be as much counter anything as it was to be for something. You know, it was
right.
So really about
just
yeah. It was really about. I think that one way we change things is to offer a vision of the world that's sexier, if you will, that's more beautiful, that's more enjoyable, that's more powerful. So, you know, I wanted to offer these principles, which are the beginning of a vision. I think that can really work for everybody.
Okay. And do you think the mental illness in the world is still growing, or do you think that with like movements like the Arab Spring and Occupy, that it's receding and that love and cooperation are growing?
I actually think that love and cooperation are growing and have been growing for a long time, and that's why you see movements, even certain movements that are angry, you know, that have a lot of anger in them, that may be counter movements, because you know the saying is when a body is dying off, it kicks the hardest. So. You know, if you look at a book like Empathic Civilization by Jeremy Rifkin, he looks at the history of our species and shows this, that empathy really is the truest story that you can tell, empathy and cooperation about our species. And then he goes to a number of things. You know, we all think war is increasing. Well, it's actually decreasing. You know, we look at something that we take for granted, at least in our country, that women have the right to vote, and we're close to giving them an equal participation in our culture. We're not quite there yet, but just, you know, 80 or 100 years ago, they couldn't vote. They were originally, you know, viewed as, you know, almost property of the men, and the same thing with African Americans. And those things have all shifted, you know, and it kind of goes by, you know. I was on the freeway the other day coming home, and it hit me. Like, nobody sees the even driving as one incredible act of cooperation. You think about how many cooperative acts have to go into just driving home. It's incredible that everybody stays in their lane relatively, you know, everybody's going relatively the speed limit, what they've been told, they've registered their cars, they've gotten their smog checked or whatever the rules are. We're all cooperating. Even when we compete with each other, people don't realize how much we're in cooperation. Just to see a race, you know, man against man, are hundreds of thousands of acts of cooperation where people have decided, okay, these are going to be the rules, and we're going to meet at this time, and we're going to make this deal with this network to broadcast it, and we're going to drive and get in the car, and we're going to all have some food to get. It's all cooperation, you know. But we tell the story right of the aberration, you know, and that's where we have to just look. These, we're telling the story of what's not our basis, because it's the aberration. We tell the story of the car that's stolen, not all of the driving that's in cooperation.
Right.
Thank
you so much for coming on, and thanks for making the film. You're amazing. Joe, the film's amazing. And
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you, brother. I hope to meet you someday. You're the reason we did this, and we feel that something is happening because it's touching folks like you. So thank you, man.
Thank you,
Joe. Thank you very much, and I appreciate you turning me onto this movie. You know, Tom, I've got to tell you, the Occupy movements that are happening all over the country right now fit very neatly into a lot of the message that I Am conveys. And you speak and you capture in a remarkable way this consensus decision making that you talk about. And that is that really does encapsulate what you called the counter protest that's going on right now. This Occupy movement very much is about consensus building. It's the very foundation of what they are beginning to. I mean, we're talking about a movement that's less than 8 weeks old, and yet in that short amount of time, because of this vibration, this spiritual energy that I don't think people even recognize what it is yet, it has brought us to a place very quickly that we wouldn't have a year ago thought possible.
Yeah, well, you know, Occupy Wall Street obviously is a movement that is being, it's being fueled by a problem that we all can feel. Even those who oppose the Occupy Wall Street movement, I think, can feel that there's something off. There's something broken in our economy. There's something off when so many people can't afford basic, you know, medical coverage and to feed their families. And the movement speaks very well to that something is off. And I think the movement is still forming and finding, again, that more beatific vision. I don't think the problem exists personally simply in Wall Street. I think Wall Street is a manifestation of each of our own, the energy that's in each of us. When we heal that energy, the manifestation that is Wall Street, I think, will lose its power and diminish. Wall Street only is fueled by us. It's fueled by our investments. It's fueled by what we care about. And when we shift what we care about, what we invest in, whether it's with our money or our time or our talent, Wall Street is going to shift. It's only an outgrowth of that energy.
All right.
The energy for so long has been, how much can I get?
And we have to take a quick break here. Tom Shadyk, stay where you're at. We will come back. There's so much more to get to. IamTheDoc.com. I am the director and producer is with us. I'm telling you, a lot to get to yet. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update includes big delays still. Southbound M10 from that earlier accident down near the Davison. Drivers on northbound 275, it's been backed up toward Michigan because of an earlier accident near 96 and M14. Drivers are coming in eastbound I-96. It's been heavy all morning for those trying to come in from Kent Lake all the way in toward Novi. 75 south backed up from at least 14 all the way down toward 9 Mile. And on the Ruther West coming in Van Dyke, an earlier accident there really backing up the ride out to 75.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. There's only a slight chance of showers today, a high near 50. Tomorrow, look for sunny skies and 52. Right now, it's overcast and 48. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Many big-time newspapers have run mocking pieces by political pundits about the Occupy movement, denigrating it as confused and chaotic. In USA Today, for example, right-wing pundit Cal Thomas recently opined that, to the extent anyone can understand their core message, the occupiers apparently despise business and capitalism. Well, no, Cal. They despise corporate greed and political corruption, and their core message is really quite clear. The bankers, bosses, and others who make up the richest 1% of our society are further enriching themselves by knocking down the 99%. Maybe an up-close example of this would help Thomas see what the majority of Americans who support the Occupy movement are experiencing. Look no further than the very newspaper chain that's paying him to pontificate so cluelessly. Gannett, which owns USA Today and about 80 other papers, is a financial and journalistic wreck. In the past 6 years, its stock price has collapsed by 750%. It has fired 20,000 employees, stripped its newsrooms of their ability to do serious reporting, and cut the pay of remaining journalists while insisting that they work longer hours with less support. Craig Dubow, Gannett's CEO since 2005, presided over this debacle. He's now out, but he wasn't fired, as you and I would have been for such a failure. No, no. Instead, Gannett's board of directors handed Dubow, get this, $37 million as a go-away gift. This cushion of luxury came on top of the $16 million he was given in salary and bonuses during the past 2 years, as those workers who produced the product were being dumped and the corporation was tanking. This is Jim Hightower saying, so, Mr. Thomas, that's the reason so many are in the streets and in support of what the occupiers are saying. Can you relate? Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift.
Well, so joining me now is the new president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift.
There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a great opportunity to come together and work on turning things around in Michigan. And the AFL is the centerpiece of the movement for standing up for working men and women and protecting the middle class and fighting for good jobs with fair pay and benefits.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano. On 1310 WDTW.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
35 minutes after the hour, director, producer Tom Shadyac is with me. His documentary, I Am. I believe I Am is an opportunity. Well, it's beyond an opportunity. I believe that it is a critical piece of a puzzle that is not really that difficult. It's like one of those kids' puzzles that has big pieces to it, and you can look at all the pieces and see what the picture is. Here's what I Am does that no other documentary or film that I've ever experienced does. It gives us an opportunity to explore the sense of optimism that's in all of us. I think Tom Shadyac, what really... What profoundly affected me, I've watched it now four times, and I think it's one of those movies that you need to watch again and again and again, because you grow from each viewing. You come to accept or understand something that you either didn't understand before, or it just kind of sprouts something in you, and that's really what it does for me. And so as I looked at this film and wondered, what do you do with this? You know, Tom, for years, I would go to film festivals with my radio show, and I would interview all these wonderful directors and movie stars, and it was always the documentary people that I would end up hanging out with in the bar at the end of the day when everything else is done, because these were the people that couldn't put it away. They couldn't, you know, put it on a shelf at the end of the day and move on. Is I Am one of those movies that will never completely be done for you, if you understand what I mean by that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because it is, I Am, as the title suggests, is about taking responsibility for the energy that you put out in the world and your participation in helping to heal this world and creating something new. So, you know, we had a very similar journey. I used to go to this film festival, which really helped to wake me up. It's called Mountain Film and Telluride, and it's a documentary film festival. And I, of course, have been to, you know, other narrative film festivals because I'm in the narrative world, making Ace Ventura, Nutty Professor, Liar Liar, etc. And this documentary film festival was so full of passion, and the people were doing such good work. The filmmakers weren't just making films, quote-unquote. They were doing the work. They were out there helping to heal, you know, disparities of wealth and helping to heal places of in the natural world that had been poisoned, and it was their life. And it was that unification, that integrity that so moved me, and I hope that that is what I represent now, is a life that is more unified And it's not over. I'll hang this phone up, and I'm going to start writing a book that are about these principles, and I'll be speaking somewhere shortly that are about these principles. And the films that I'm trying to make now in my business are, again, about these principles.
Well, and certainly none of that comes as a surprise to me. I have to, you know, and this, by the way, this film is filled with remarkable people. And the reason that I'm not getting into some of the nitty-gritty, and folks, I want you to experience this movie for the first time whole. I want it to be something that you just, I'm asking you to trust me. Watch, you know, get the movie, watch the movie, and experience this movie. There's so much there that to give any of it away seems to me to be cheating you. That's just the way I feel. But, Tom Shadick, I have to ask you a question, because one of the things that I got out of this, and one of the things that kind of has been pushing inside of me, you know, is that thing that we call truth. What does truth mean to you?
Well,
you didn't. At least you know I was paying attention.
We'll be back with the meaning of life after this. You know, it's one of those things like the scent of a rose that's very hard to describe, but I think we know it when we experience it. So when I say love is the most powerful force in the universe, I believe I'm espousing a truth. And again, it's one of those things that may sound utopian, and yet we've all experienced it. We all experienced 9/11, which was an act with so much hate and division behind it. And I won't get into why that act happened, but the love that came out of that act was so tangibly more powerful for me than the hate that went in. New York was just thick in the air with love. I was there shortly thereafter, and I lost friends in 9/11. And it was so thick and palpable, and the beauty that was being born from that fertilizer, if you will, that hateful act, that to me is a truth. And it's a truth that I think, because of the vision of society we have today, that we're all broken, we're told that by our religions, that we're all competitive, that it's a dog-eat-dog world, we miss that truth. So I think the truth is something that created everything. You know, I think it was Thoreau that said, above everything, give me truth, even above love, because love is truth. So truth, I think we know it when we experience it.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Tom, because as I was exploring the movie I Am, because it's something that you don't just watch. It kind of explores you, and you explore it. You have a relationship with this film that isn't like anything I have ever seen. And the more you watch it, the greater that relationship seems to be in your life. And it certainly gives it more significance. And this is something that my staff here at the show will appreciate. After one of the viewings of I Am, I decided to start doing a feature on a daily basis called First Word. And what I do is I just come up with a word and I define what it means. And then it kind of has a theme throughout the show. And I've been doing that every day now for a few months. And that was born out of this idea that I got from the film that there's something more authentic I need to be doing with this program. There was missing an authenticity, and not that that was the end all and be all, but it was certainly an element that I had not discovered before.
Well, that's beautiful, and again, that's the greatest compliment you can give an artist. And I think authenticity is a great deal of what the movie is about. It's a great deal of what I discovered on my journey is to be more authentic. The word authenticity comes from the same word that we get the word author, and I think many of us are not the author of our own lives. And I even realized that about myself, that part of the story I was telling had been given to me. It wasn't what was true for me. My society had given me certain ideas, and that's where it really gets, you get on shaky ground when you watch a film like this, because it calls into question so many things that we take for granted. You know, every day the way we talk about economy, this film kind of blows apart, because our economy was invented. It hasn't always been this way. There are many cultures that did it differently, and when you look at the principles of our economy, they are absolutely unsustainable, and that's why nobody can fix it now. We keep looking at how are we going to fix it, and it's rotten at the principle level. It's rotten. It doesn't exist in nature. Nothing thrives in nature by doing the economy the way we do the economy. So the film really shakes people, you know, at the core, as I was shaken. I had to look back at my life, and Emerson has this saying, Ralph Waldo Emerson, that we put in the film, which is a whole generation has gone to their graves thinking that they were helping the situation when they were actually a part of hurting it, the destruction. He said it more eloquently than that. I forget the exact words, but that's what I realized about my own life, the way I had done business, the way I had approached business, getting so much for myself, which I was taught. I was taught that that's success. It really tore that asunder, and I had to call that into question. And I was, my life was, you know, sitting inside of the hypocrisies, and I couldn't even see it. The person who's moved me more in my life than anyone is Jesus, and that I don't say that in a dogmatic or religious way, but the moral teachings and the power I felt in this life. And he said, don't even store up treasures on earth, you know? Don't store up treasures where moth and rust destroy. And my culture taught me, store up as much as you can, dude. You know, put as much in that bank account as you can. Take care of yourself. Then maybe you can step out and do some good things with it. But take care of yourself first. That's the opposite message that any of our mystics and teachers tell us.
Well, we have to take a break here in just a minute. One of the, of course, wonders of radio is you take too many breaks, but we have to do it. Tom, I write a journal every day. And after one of the viewings of I Am, I wrote and I dug it up and made a copy of it and brought it in. A very simple passage in my journal that day. And I wrote, I wonder if Tom Shadyac was afraid of everything that he never wanted to be and then became. I wondered if this fear that maybe he doesn't even recognize he had, I can hear it in his voice, I can see it in his actions. And it all disappears when he starts to explore a greater world. I don't know how he filmed this movie, but I have a feeling that he shifted 180 degrees from the time he began this thing to the time it ended. I wonder if there's something in that message that's meant for me as well. Was there fear there, Tom?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the fear was palpable. In fact, I was so afraid of the ideas that were animating me and of becoming more authentic, speaking about these things, living these things more fully, that it took a knock on my head by the universe that I believe I participated in that I called into my life to knock me out of my fear, if you will, which exists in your head. Your head is what's fearful. It knocked me right into my heart. Your head is what says, oh, you can't do this. Are you crazy? Everybody's going to think you're crazy. You're gonna, if you give all your money away, you're gonna starve. You're gonna die. And I like what Martin Luther King said, which is, if you don't do the right thing and stand up at the right thing at 30, you may live to be 80, but you were spiritually dead at 30. And I didn't want to be spiritually dead. Yes, we all have that fear. And that's, if we look at that fear, it's really illusory. Because what exists underneath all of us, we all have infinity and starlight in us. We are this, we are made of the same stuff that created the universe. Everything we see outside of us is in us. You know, that's why Emerson said the world globes itself in a drop of dew, meaning it's all in us.
All right, so we gotta take that quick break here, Tom. No, that's
I'll
all
get
right.
Off the pulpit.
Well, not too far. We're gonna hop back on here in about 3.5 minutes. I'm Tony Trupiano, right. Tom Shadyac, my guest. IamTheDoc.com is the website you want to go to. We'll be back and wrap it up on the other side of this.
It was $1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me is Professor Gordon Lafer.
One of the problems with one of the versions of Right to Work that somebody is talking about introducing in Michigan, which would be aimed strictly at teachers and the school system. There has never been a Right to Work law like that because it makes no economic sense. You're not going to attract companies into out of state by attacking teachers. But what you will do is put Michigan at a competitive disadvantage in recruiting and retaining the highest quality teachers. If you say, well, we're going to cut down, you know, union bargaining power and wages and benefits for Michigan teachers, any teacher who has a choice who's deciding are they going to go to Michigan or a neighboring state is going to have an incentive to go elsewhere. So at a time when the state is trying to have a strong education system, I mean, both for all kinds of reasons, including being able to compete for these higher skilled jobs, to put in a law that says we're going to undermine the quality of teachers we can attract seems backwards economically.
First Shift with Tony Trubino on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great girdly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, folks. Appreciate you hanging with us this hour. Tom Shadyac, writer, producer. Again, the documentary, I Am. You know, Tom, let me ask you, is it available on DVD? Is it for sale on DVD yet, or is it still traveling the country?
We're taking pre-orders now. It will be available on DVD, the first of the year. I believe the date is January 3rd. You can go on Amazon, though, and pre-order. It's on video on demand in December, and it'll be on, the Oprah Winfrey Network, coming up in January as well.
All right. What's in store for you moving forward?
You said it already. I'm in this conversation. So, I have a talk show I may host, so we can, again, take questions about this and all grow in this together. I've been in discussions with the Oprah Winfrey Network about this for a while. It may be there, maybe elsewhere. I'm trying to make films. You know, some are comedies, some are more dramatic, again, that further this conversation. And I'm writing a book. I got a book deal from a publishing group called Hay House that, you know, deals with a lot of authors, you know, in the ideas or spiritual vein.
Luis Hay is a blessing to the universe.
Yeah. Luis is a beautiful, positive light, and she's got, you know, people like Wayne Dyer, Marianne Williamson, and they saw the film, and we had a conversation, and they're excited about, you know, us, you know, putting forth a book about it. So I'm in it, man. I'm in it every day. I'm in the thick of it, and it's beautiful. I meet beautiful people like yourself and your callers, and it's happening. You know, that wall fell, it's fallen recently in the Middle East, you know, the Berlin Wall fell and nobody saw it coming. And, this wall between each other is going to fall, you know, I think it's going to happen quickly. It's going to be a tipping point and then it's all going to change. And there'll still be problems, but we're going to greet them in a different way.
All right, just trying to get a lot in here in the little time we have left. I'd like you to speak briefly about your dad and the work that he committed his life to, because it's important work and it certainly merits discussion.
Yeah, it's St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. My dad helped found it with comic Danny Thomas, and that hospital treats kids with cancer for free. Everybody at that hospital, just about everyone, could make more money if they went out into, quote-unquote, the free market, but they get wealthy a different way, and that is by, you know, offering love, medicine, their skill set to healing. And it's a beautiful place, and that's what taught me that model, because that model exists. and others, other models like it, even like Paul Newman's Newman's Own, a group called Invisible Children, which is ending the longest-running war in Africa. These models exist where people are finding a truer wealth than what we find in what we've created in the business world. And that model, of course, people support because they find a power there. They, St. Jude raises $750 million a year, and they give it all away to research and to curing kids with cancer for free. And people are so generous because they're moved by that kind of work, and that kind of work moves me.
Yeah, don't question, and it's critical. It's critical work. As we wrap things up here today, and we, I don't know, I don't want to let you go, but I have to. Just the time's up, and you need to move on. I need to move on. You have radically altered the way, in so many ways, the way that I put this show together on a daily basis. I now weigh things with a different kind of scale, and I would hope that my audience sees that in what I bring to them on a daily basis. But Tom Shadyac, I think it's important for all of us to remember at a time where we have, especially in this country, such a great divide politically. We are at each other nonstop. We have in some parts of the country next week elections. We have the presidential election next year. The conversation, I don't like where the conversation is right now. And this idea that we actually have more in common than not in common seems to be lost in the political arena. But that doesn't mean we should give up, does it?
No, it doesn't. Look, anger has its place. But if it turns to bitterness, that's like, there's a Buddhist saying, it's like holding a hot coal and waiting to throw it at someone, you get burned in the process. I find the most powerful thing that we can do is to create something that is more beautiful. So rather than pointing that finger out, as our moral teachers have told us, let's look at, and instead of pointing at the speck in our brother's eye, let's look at what's in our own eye and create something more beautiful. And so that's where I think the energy really gets effective and efficient. And then those people who see things differently than we do are going to be like moths attracted to a light. But we have to bring light with what we do. And as soon as we say, you're doing something wrong, we've turned a person almost automatically, instinctively, into a defense mechanism. They're going to be defensive. That's going to create an energy that's going to come back. As soon as we say something like, I see things differently, but look at what I am doing. Look at the people that are working with me. Look at the business that I'm creating. Look at the model I'm creating. That no longer says the other person is wrong. It invites them into the conversation. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see that. Let me see that St. Jude Children's Research Hospital that you just came up with. Wow, you've cured this many people. You've touched this many people. You see, St. Jude didn't have to go out and say, hey, all you other businesses that are making a profit are wrong. They went out and did something more powerful, and now it's a beacon. So I think we all need to be more of a beacon. And again, that's why the film is called I Am. It's the only true revolution, as Thomas Merton said, he's a 20th century mystic, is the personal revolution.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Tom Shadyac, you are a beacon. You are a shining light. I don't know how our paths cross again. I pray they do, and just trust that the universe will take care of that. In the meantime, I've enjoyed this discussion way too much, and I'm already missing you, and I mean that. I love what I do. I truly, I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. God perfectly placed me where I'm at right now, and I'm blessed for that. I don't often get a chance to have this kind of discussion on the show, so I want to thank you for giving me that. The best of luck to you. Wherever your path takes you, you are and indeed are making a difference, and I can't thank you enough for the time you gave us this morning.
Well, I thank you, and I want one pledge from you that I get to interview you someday, because I'm so interested in how this film touched you and the courage that you've had to shift your life. So I appreciate you and everything you're out there trying to do, brother.
Absolutely. Blessings to Harold. Thank him again for this. I'll get a message off to him. But God bless you and have a great day today.
All right, brother. Peace. Say hi to Tom Hartman for us.
I will. Man. Thank you. All Tom right. Shadyac, right. Just an incredibly gifted and intelligent human being. Folks, I realize that some of this, partially this conversation maybe went over some of your heads. I hope it did not. I hope you understand that, you know, in the struggle for what we do here on First Shift every day, ultimately it's about bringing all kinds of people together. IAM does that in an extraordinary way because it is an exploration of things we just never get a chance to touch on this show. And in a very real way, that is the world that I live in when I'm not doing this. Oh, one day that'll make sense. All right, to Jeff and Anthony, happy birthday again, son. I love you very much. Happy 21st birthday to you. Jeff and Anthony, thanks so much for all you did today. This audience is amazing. My guests were great today. Good day. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update includes earlier accidents westbound 696 near Van Dyke that was really slowing down the ride. And for those trying to get between 94 out to 75, and of course 75 slow, trying to come in towards 696, then down past 9 Mile as you head into downtown. 94 West heavy for those coming into Van Dyke, trying to get to 75. Southbound M10 has been slow between the Southfield and the Davison because of an earlier accident.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. There's only a slight chance of showers today, a high near 50. Tomorrow, look for sunny skies and 52. Right now, it's overcast and 48. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page.